Chicago Sports Conversation is now. The Beat on 720 WGN. Just a beat.
.308 on a sunshine-filled Saturday, 720 WGN. It's The Beat. The guys are off again. So they tag team Kevin Paul, Sam Panionovich into the mix.
And I think last week we talked about who we were specifically filling in for. I felt like you had more Hogue vibes. I was more Carm vibes. You feeling that today as well?
No, I feel different today. I feel like a new man today.
All right. Well, I'll say I'm in for Carm. You don't have to say you're in for Adam.
But. By the way, I wanted to get Carm's opinion on Derrick Rose being traded because there is no bigger Derrick Rose fan than Mark Carman.
No
he
bigger
said
Bulls fan.
That he is in the woods right now. With little cell phone connection, he doesn't want to even be connected. He doesn't even want to talk about it, doesn't want to think about it.
And I think Hogue is on some sort of intense golf excursion. He's golfing something like 108 holes. I don't even know what that equates to round-wise. But Adam's out golfing. Thank you to them for letting us fill in today. Plenty to talk about, Sammy.
Two popular figures in this city are no longer with Chicago sports teams. You've got Derrick Rose, who was dealt to the Knicks last week, during the week, I guess middle of the week, and just yesterday, late last night, around dinner time, Andrew Shaw gets traded to Montreal for two draft picks. I think a lot more remorse about Andrew Shaw. People more upset about that one than Derrick Rose.
Well, so many memories with Shaw. I mean, he's been a huge part of two Stanley Cups. On the cover of the Chicago Sports section in the Tribune is the photo of Shaw raising the Stanley Cup over his head. This was after he took the puck point blank to his face, and he's bleeding out of a cheek. I mean, that sort of sums up the type of player he was. Scrappy, always battling. Joel Quenneville loved him, called him irreplaceable, which I think he is, but again, another cap casualty for the Blackhawks.
And when you say championships, that's really the recency bias for Andrew Schott. His name is on the Stanley Cup twice in 2013 and 2015, and even though he is a bottom six player, he was a winning player in the postseason. I think that's why he'll be missed. We'll talk to Chris Hine at 4:35 about this, though, because the logic was at the time when they traded Teravainen and Bickle, Andrew Shaw's done. It's a done deal.
Right.
And that wasn't the case. The two sides just too far apart. And again, these albatross contracts just continue to clip the Blackhawks in the pocketbook. You mentioned Taves. You mentioned Kane. Well worth the money. But look at some of these deals. The Brent Seabrook deal kicks in next year. The Marcus Kruger deal kicks in. You're
Anisimov.
Still paying Marian Hossa. Anisimov kicks in as well. You're paying your goalie $6 million with a hard salary cap, Kev. Well, you got to count your pennies.
Yeah, and the core's there, as always, with this team. And Stan Bowman continues to find ways to add pieces around them, whether it's mid-season or with some craftiness in the offseason, which is what he's going to have to do now. And I think moving Shaw gives him some options. But the unfortunate one, look, Brian Bickle did a lot for this team. He struggled the past couple of years, but he was a big part of winning some Stanley Cups here.
One of them. He had two good months.
And then he got a four-year deal.
May and June of 2013.
He got a four-year deal, and things derailed a little bit for
Brian. You were being too kind then.
I was being way too kind. Thank you for correcting me. That one stings a little more because Teuvo Teravainen was essentially a sacrificial lamb in that deal. I mean, it was, will you take Bickle's contract off the books? Sure, we'll do that, but you're going to give us a player if we do that. If we're going to take Bickle's contract on, a player that hasn't performed well, who hasn't skated well, who hasn't done much well over the past season or two, and they're going to take on a $4 million hit for Bickle, they're going to have to send Teuvo Teravainen. That one stung a lot. I mean, this one stings, of course, because it's Shaw, but you sort of understand where the Hawks are coming from. That one was clearly, we have to sacrifice Teuvo Teravainen to get Bickle off the books. This one was just, you know, Shaw playing well. I mean, he's earned a deal.
A lot like last season. Before last season when they had to trade Patrick Sharp, and then Steven Johns gets lumped into the deal because Dallas knew that Stan Bowman was handcuffed.
Right.
Stan's been the best GM since 2010, but he's got his work cut out for him here. We wanted to do, as Kevin and I always do when we host here, we want to do an overlying theme of the show.
A running
and your question was good.
Show.
I think it was the best way to shape it.
Simple but specific. Derrick Rose, I think the large majority of Chicago sports fans, Bulls fans, are a little relieved and happy to see him go. But there are some people who love Derrick Rose. There are some diehards. He's a hometown kid. He did a lot of good things here. Are you happy to see him go or not? Simple as that. 312-981-7200. Are you happy Derrick Rose is a New York Knick, or would you still like to see him in a Chicago Bulls uniform?
I remember the first time I saw Derrick Rose play. I was in seventh grade. We're the same age. You are the same age as the both of us. He was the fastest player, yet somehow the strongest player on the floor.
Right.
And he would go bucket to bucket, hoop to hoop in 4 seconds. He had springs in his shoes. He was so electric, and he was doing things at that age that, you know, other teams' point guards couldn't even dribble between their legs. And he was loop-to-loop, hula-hoop, around the back, through the rack. Like, I mean, he just did everything that nobody else could do at that level. And he continued to progress, goes to Simeon on 83rd and Vincennes on the south side. They win two state titles, goes to Memphis. He's a couple missed free throws away from winning a national championship. And then by his third year in the league, he's the MVP.
Your geography game for the South Side is strong, Sam. We'll give you props for that. Yeah. Remember we were calling Derek Mini LeBron for a little while? Because you sort of had that. I mean, he was. I mean, like you said, he was strong. He was fast. Now watching Russell Westbrook go end-to-end at the court, I'm like, man, that was Derek Rose just a few years ago. He was the fastest guy end-to-end. And now you watch Russell Westbrook. And then it was almost sad. It's like the guy's 27, talking Derek Rose here. And he can't even dunk the ball, really. He's doing layups. If you can go watch highlight. You can watch a 15-minute highlight reel on YouTube of Derrick Rose throwing down haymaker dunks.
He's not flying, he's soaring.
And that's from a 3-4-year window. And we were like, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be a 10-year, 12-year. He's going to get at least one championship. And then 2012 hits, first round of the playoffs.
A lot of people don't think about this. The AAU boon really, really picked up in the mid-2000s. By the time Derrick Rose was 18 years old, I don't even know how many basketball games he played, because he played more in the summer than he did in high school. Kev, those guys are playing 3-4 games a day, and I used to play with them at the Blue Island YMCA, and the rule there is, you win, you keep the court.
How badly did he own you?
They would win 6-7 games in a row. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, he never left the gym. And the wear and tear, the torque on the body, especially on the knees. By the time he turned 22, 23, his knees were pretty much shot. And it's unfortunate to think that that was the way it went out, because he exploded onto the city scene. He exploded onto the national basketball scene.
International scene. I mean, his deal with Adidas was huge. He saw billboards over in Asia, like in China. There's huge followings for Derrick Rose. There really is. 312-981-7200. Are you happy to see Derrick Rose go or not? The 847 already chiming in on the text line. Derrick Rose and George Lucas leave in the same week. It's been a good week for Chicago. All right. We know how the 847's feeling right now.
We mentioned Andrew Shaw, former Blackhawks forward Andrew Shaw, dealt to Montreal for a couple draft picks. We'll actually be joined tomorrow by the first Blackhawks draft pick from the OHL, Alex DeBrincat, who scored 51 goals last year.
That's good, right?
In the OHL.
I'd say 51 goals is pretty decent.
Erie Otters. He will join the program tomorrow, but a lot of these second-round picks came from Montreal, and Jack is joining us now on 720 WGN. Hey, Jack, happy Saturday.
Hey, same to you. I'm probably going to be the most hated Blackhawks fan ever for saying this, but I think Marian Hossa, his time has come, and they should have kept Shawzy, because if you take a look at his grit, his style of play, and I'm not taking anything away from Hoss, because he's the only guy that I know that can go into the boards with three opposing teammates on him, opposing team guys, and still come out with the puck. He's a great playmaker, but he just, in the last 2 years, man, I love Hoss. He's my favorite. Just can't get it in the net. Where Shawzy, he's in there, and he's agitating, and he does the job. And don't forget, Shawzy's, what, 12, 13 years younger than Hoss?
Mm-hmm. Hoss is 37. Shaw is 24.
And you know Hoss is, yeah, at 37, he's probably equal to Derrick Rose's knees. You know, I don't want to take nothing away from Hoss, because, man, the guy's just a awesome player, but I think the time has come, or maybe they.
Well, I'll say this, Jack. I see where you're coming from, and I definitely don't think that you get the consistency from Marian Hossa as much as you had seen in the past. But when he needs to turn it on, in the playoffs, and he does play like
he was
like,
really good against St. Louis.
He's on his game, he is one of the best players in the NHL. I mean, it's really hard to argue with that. Now, here's the issue, Jack. What do we say he is? 37 years old. He still has 5 years remaining on his contract. It runs through the 2021 season.
What is it, a $6 million a year he's making?
He's making $4
million. Well, the cap hit's $5.275 million. So
for the next –
Well, it does make sense, Jack, and I had heard that rumor floated around that the Hawks were shopping Marian Hossa or could be shopping Marian Hossa to try and bring back Andrew Ladd, but that is an albatross of a contract because, like Kevin says, you're going to be paying him into his early 40s.
Yeah.
He'll be 41 when his contract expires. And like we said, you're not sure – If he's going to continue to even perform at an elite level for that long. I mean, we haven't seen the consistency from him, and that's what happens when players start aging a little bit. I mean, he's 37, so I get your point, Jack, but I don't know what Stan Bowman could possibly do with this contract and if a team would be willing to take on five more years of Marian Hossa.
Yeah, I mean, that's Stan Bowman. That guy is just – he's got to be a bundle of nerves, just – oh, man, what he does is unbelievable. But Tebow, I think Panarin put the icing on the cake. So Tebow's gone. Glad to see you. Wouldn't want to be you. Derrick Rose, too many injuries, liability, and I'm glad to see him go.
You're a hater, Jack. You're a hater, but we love that about you.
No, I appreciate it, Jack. Thank you for the phone call. Thanks for listening, man.
Here's what happened to the Blackhawks. They swiped the credit card over and over and over.
They did, but it was all towards core players.
But it worked out. It worked out. You got three Stanley Cups. No.
They've only missed on one contract, really.
And Ryan Bickell.
Yeah, that's the only real, real rough contract for Bowman. And they got rid of it, finally. Finally. Because they were doing everything possible over the past year or two. You heard all kinds of reports of Bowman trying to convince teams to take on that deal, and he did it. Finally did it. Fortunately, Tavo had to go with him.
Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. Plenty to come on the beat. We will talk to Tony Andracki, CSN Chicago at 3:40. Chris Hine, Blackhawks beat writer for the Tribune at 4:35. John Greenberg from The Athletic at 5:05. And back to CSN Chicago, Kevin Anderson, Bulls contributor at 6:05. He's Paul. I'm Panionovich. 3:19 on 720 WGN. Could have used a MyPillow last night on that turnaround, getting back here at 6:30 in the morning for Lou Manfredini's show.
Well, if you don't stay out all night partying, Sammy,
stop.
You get a little better sleep.
It is the
Please
beat.
Tell me you use a MyPillow.
I was supposed to get a MyPillow last year. It's still in the mail.
Just go to sales. Hassle them.
I do. I need to go
tie somebody up. Do it.
I won't cut the leash until they get me a MyPillow. Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell. It's 3:23 on the beat, 720 WGN. Have you ever been in a situation that I was in last night where you go to an ethnic birthday party and you're sandwiched in between two people that don't speak English?
Right.
Because that happened to me last night. Family friend, we're Serbian, they're Serbian, and I sit down at this table, and, you know, they're all speaking Serbian as it is. And I don't speak. I can understand.
Okay.
I know the swear words. I know
the fun stuff.
Yeah, the fun stuff, right? The nuts. I know the nuts. So these two are just going back and forth, talking to each other around and through me.
Are you doing the smile and nod thing?
Yes.
I mean, like, because people who speak English could talk to me and I'm not really listening. You just do the smile and nod, and every once in a while they go, yeah, so what do you think? They go, wait, what are we talking about here? So you were in that situation to the extreme.
So I stand up and I go walk over toward the bar and I ask one of the guys that was born here in the USA and he speaks English and Serbian. He can do them both. And I said to him, do those guys speak English? He said they got here last week.
So how did you approach that? Did you bring your personal translator over to kind of have a conversation with the guys?
I didn't, and I left my dictionary and my Serbian glossary at home. I couldn't flip through it. But we were in the same boat because I couldn't understand them, and then they couldn't understand me. So we were mutually all confused.
Once you get the alcohol flowing, everybody's having a good time. I've hung out with people before who don't even speak English, and somehow we're communicating, you know, sharing laughs, sort of laughing at the situation. I mean, it was late at the bar and everything was funny, but yeah, I think in that situation, I don't know, either remove yourself from it or
start, or you dive right in and you just try and, you know, try and wade in the water.
Start getting some of that harsh Serbian alcohol.
Slivovica.
Slivovica, there you go.
The plum brandy. They had that last night.
That sounds good.
That was interesting. But, yeah, you never really know what to do. And once it happens, you know, you're trying to be polite and you're trying to, you know, let everybody get their turn to talk. But when you can't contribute to the conversation, it all of a sudden gets really strange.
You know, I think there's an app now where you can talk into your phone and it'll translate text onto your phone screen. You just show it to them. I mean, it would make for a choppy conversation, having to talk into your phone and wait for it to translate into text. And then the person has to read it and then respond.
Oh, you talk about apps. People are getting so lazy now. I was talking to one of my buddies. He doesn't even go grocery shopping anymore.
They deliver it now, right?
He pulls up an app on his phone. This is how lazy we've gotten. As Americans, we don't go to the grocery store anymore. We download an app that allows us to peruse through the categories for said supermarkets, and then somebody goes to the store for you.
It's awesome.
Picks up your groceries and then drops them off.
Do you have an app on your phone that you're embarrassed to admit to?
I don't. No, I'm not a big app guy. I don't have the overload.
Sam.
Which one's yours?
Let's see here. An embarrassing one, you're asking me?
You like the calorie counter? Or
no, I used to have that, and and it was so, like, I don't know. It's too much work. You're eating your meal, and then you're done, and then you got to go onto it and punch, like, everything in that you ate and try to remember what you ate. Let's see here. I'm scrolling through my apps. Front page, of course, we've got the WGN radio app. Strong plug there. I got my USA Today, my Weather Channel. I do have the. Do you ever do the dating apps?
No, I don't. I tried it for 2 days and then I was done. I was so embarrassed.
Why?
I just felt dirty. I just felt dirty.
I've never really. I have them and I've sort of just kind of scrolled through them. There's never really been much there, so no embarrassing apps.
Moral of the story: get off the couch and go to the grocery store.
I guess
you bum.
I guess so.
Without health insurance, an ER visit could cost you over $6,500. A foot fracture could cost over $17,000. You never know when something may occur, and if you don't have health insurance when you need it most, medical bills will quickly pile up. Go with the best health coverage available. Go with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Blue Cross Blue Shield has been part of this community for over 80 years, helping members and communities live healthy and well. Blue Cross is dedicated to helping Illinois be a healthier place to live, work, and play. Over 8 million members carry the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card, and no card gives you more confidence when you walk into that doctor's office or hospital. Blue Cross will provide you peace of mind at a time when you need it most. For more information on health insurance, health and wellness tools, tips on how to enroll, and how to find a plan that fits with your budget, visit bcbsil.com, bcbsil.com, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, we will talk after the news to Tony Andracki from CSN Chicago as we do our North Side, South Side report. That's after the news on 720 WGN.
Contreras to deep right. Stanton goes back. That baby's gone. 3-0. Oppo for Contreras.
Not that easy, young man. That's his third home run already.
Lennon JD bringing you back to the beat. 720 WGN, Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich, Wilson Contreras in 7 games. Hitting .412, 3 home runs. He had 2 hits last night, 3 RBIs, the game-winning hit. Also went oppo in the first inning, and he spells his first name with 2 L's.
Yeah, the numbers almost don't do it justice. You know what I mean? What he's bringing to this team so far. Len Casper the other night called him a ball of energy. I think that sums him up perfectly.
And now they're starting to do the Schwarber route, where he started today in left field, and he's already drawn a walk. Average still at .412, as it's time now to go to the weekly segment here on The Beat on Saturday, the North and South Side Report, sponsored by Vienna Beef. And to do that, we bring in from CSN Chicago, Cubs writer Tony Andracki. I know you're happy, Kevin, because he's a Redbird.
Yes, I think if we're going to introduce Tony, we have to properly introduce him as the former sports editor of the Daily Vedette at Illinois State University, a proud Redbird. Tony, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
So Wilson Contreras comes up, you know, a little over a week ago, Tony, and we're wondering about the role and where does he fit in? Will there be enough playing time? I think performance alone, he has exceeded all expectations. You have to keep putting this guy in the lineup, and Joe Maddon certainly believes that, hitting him fourth today, and he's playing left field.
Yeah, it's insane right now. I mean, he's he's basically just following in the same path as all those other prospects that have come up before him. You know, I mean, Schwarber comes up and immediately has success. Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, you know, even Albert Almora this year as well. It's been crazy to see the Cubs do this with all these young players. It can't be this easy. It really can't be, but they're making it look easy right now.
Well, and it's sort of almost an embarrassment of riches for this team on how stocked they are and their farm system and the way they're able to roll these guys out week in and week out. For me, if they're going to hit a lull, if they're going to hit a little injury surge, ideally it happens now, because this gives the Cubs time to get these young guys in the lineup, sort of get them acclimated with how they do things, and that's sort of how it's played out so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, that June swoon is kind of the stereotype that teams go through, and the Cubs are probably in the midst of one now. If you call a four-game losing streak a June swoon, but this is the right time for them. They still have, you know, 3 full months. They're obviously looking to do well in the regular season, but they're not going to be like a Tom Thibodeau type team and just do everything they can to get that one seed and that's it. They have expectations of the World Series here. So, you know, these guys, give them time to get healthy, give them time, you know, like Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora, to go through their ups and downs, and then, you know, see where they stand when mid-September comes along and playoffs are only a couple weeks off.
You think by the end of the season, getting closer to the postseason, Contreras will be the everyday catcher?
That'll be interesting. I don't know about every day. It'll probably be more something along the lines of, you know, maybe 3 days a week. Maybe Miguel Montero is catching Arrieta and David Ross is catching John Lester and Wilson Contreras has those other guys. But, you know, they're going to do the similar kind of thing that they did with Kyle Schwarber. I guess the caveat is Wilson Contreras is probably a little bit more advanced behind the plate than Schwarber was last year when he came up. But, yeah, I don't think there's, you know, like an everyday catcher type of mindset or an everyday anything type of mindset, with the exception of maybe Addison Russell at short and Anthony Rizzo at first. You know, Madden loves these guys that move around, so maybe we'll be seeing Wilson Contreras play every day and is bad in the lineup every day, but he could be 3 out of 5 days at catcher and then 1 day at first and 1 day at third and 1 day in the outfield. Who knows?
The ability to mix and match and to have that guy, Joe Maddon, be able to pull all the strings has really been incredible. That's why the team is doing so well. Tony Andracki from CSN Chicago, he covers the Cubs. You wrote about this a couple days ago about Jake Arrieta on CSNChicago.com. And when we look at Arrieta's numbers, there are so many that jump off the page. But I want to look at a negative number, and you hinted on this in what you were writing about. Arrieta last year wins the Cy Young, walks 48 guys all season. Tony, we're not even to July 1. He's got 35 walks. I know the record's good. He's 11-2. ERA 174, the whip is under 1, but that is an alarming amount of walks for Jake Arrieta. We're not even into July yet, and he's almost matched his total from last year.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, guys aren't hitting him. He's giving up like 6 hits per 9 innings or something along those lines, but yeah, he can't keep having this sustained success and an ERA under 2 when he's walking this many guys. You know, it was, I think, his second to last start, I guess the Pirates maybe, when he like walked the bases loaded with one or nobody out and then got out of it right away. And he's been the escape artist, getting out of jam after jam like that. And he almost did it against the Cardinals the other day too, where he had the bases loaded, got the double play grounder, and the Cubs weren't able to turn it. And so it ended up being, two runs, one of them earned for him. But, I mean, even that, he almost got out of that. So at some point you figure the luck kind of has to come back to normal, especially when you're walking as many guys as he has been. It's been 4 of the last 5 starts. He's had multiple walks here.
Are you making a move at the deadline? And if you are, would you trade Javi Baez? Would you trade Kyle Schwarber? Would you trade any of these prize prospects if they could bring you a package evolving around, you know, Aroldis Chapman, Andrew Miller? Are you willing to part if it can fix up that bullpen on the left side?
You know, to be honest, I think the only guy that I would deal away right now if I was in the Cubs front office would be a guy like Jorge Soler. I mean, Baez, he's shown what he can do even when he's not hitting the ball. I mean, he had a Derek Jeter-type play last night, and he's had these ridiculous plays. I think it was 2 nights ago that ball like bounced off his glove and he barehanded it. And threw the ball like 75 miles an hour from his butt. And, you know, like that kind of stuff and that speed, that's awesome. And the kind of stuff that Madden loves. So I can't imagine Javi is going to be a part of any package the Cubs are trading away right now. But that being said, Soler is starting to become a little bit like the odd man out. He can't stay healthy. He's had a lot of hamstring issues over his career. And, you know, if Wilson Contreras can play the outfield, if Kyle Schwarber can, you know, they have a lot of options. Elmora is here. Jason Hayward is going to be here for a while. Who knows what's going to happen with Fowler. There's just a lot of different things that Soler is starting to become kind of the odd man out. So I would say him and then, you know, any of the other prospects they still have. They have Gleyber Torres and, you know, you have to figure Dan Vogelbach, he's starting to knock on the door of the big leagues here. And he could be a great weapon for especially an American League team who's possibly trading away a left-handed pitcher. And so, I mean, I think at that point the Cubs can kind of, you know, spare any expense they want in terms of the young prospects who are not currently helping the big league team.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation is how much are the Cubs willing to give up moving forward? Because there's no question they're going to add an arm to the bullpen. It's the quality of arm they're going to be seeking and how much they're willing to give up for that. But other than the bullpen, Tony, positionally, is there anything that the Cubs, in your mind, they need to target heading to the deadline? I mean, they really don't have a backup for Anthony Rizzo. Maybe that turns into Wilson Contreras, but positionally, anybody, any area you think they need to target?
No, and I think a major reason for that is a guy like Baez. I think that's a huge reason why they would not deal him, because if they did get rid of him, you know, all that talk about too many shortstops for the Cubs, well, they wouldn't really have a shortstop backup behind Russell if Javi was included in any deal. So that's probably the only place that they wouldn't have much depth. You know, obviously Ben Zobrist has played there before, but who knows if, you know, they would really put him out there. And Addison Russell has had hamstring injuries as well. We saw it in the playoffs last year. So I would say only that, but in a way it's almost like keeping Javi is, you know, getting a lot of depth elsewhere. And between Chris Bryant's ability to play first and Wilson Contreras and Chris Coughlin played a little bit last year, Ben Zobrist has played it before. So I think they're good positionally everywhere else. But, yeah, I think it's that bullpen especially and potentially the starting rotation if Jason Hamill does what he's done historically in his career and had slow second halves.
If you had to describe Joe Maddon to somebody who doesn't know anything about him, isn't a baseball fan, maybe they're a tourist. As we look outside Michigan Avenue, there are tourists all over the place. If a tourist came up to you and asked you, what is Joe Maddon like, what would you say?
I think one of my favorite phrases for him is like the mad scientist, and that really has to be it. He's kind of like the crazy uncle. I mean, you know, I'm here saying that, and, you know, he's like 35-plus years older than me, and he's like the crazy uncle, but he's not like – he's the uncle that you're like really excited to go see, you know, every time there's a family party, you go up and you want to hear his stories and you want to hear his thoughts on life and just the way he like explains everything. It's very entertaining. So even if he's talking about, you know, a depressing topic of some sort, he does it in an entertaining way that it's just kind of hard to not like him. It's very hard to not be entertained by him. So I think it's that mad scientist type of quality, but like mixed with charisma. So that would probably be the best way I would say to describe him.
Well, Joe Maddon refuses to budge Jason Hayward down in the lineup. He's batting leadoff. He's been in the two-hole, but he continues to struggle at the plate. Do you see any scenario where he does try to do something with Hayward to get him going offensively?
It's possible, sure, yeah. I mean, they just moved Elmora to ninth, I think, last night was the first time they did that, kind of gave him the Addison Russell treatment from last year and hit the pitcher eighth. You know, I mean, maybe something like that. I wouldn't see – I think that's probably like an emergency type of situation to move Hayward ninth with the pitcher eighth. But, yeah, it is possible to move him down. But one of the things Maddon said earlier in the year when Hayward was struggling is, okay, well, you know, he still is walking a lot. He's getting on base at a pretty solid clip, not great, but, you know, a solid .330. And then if you move him down to fifth or sixth or seventh, and then he's following guys like, you know, Ben Zobrist or Anthony Rizzo or Javi Baez, or even if Wilson Contreras is hitting, say, sixth one day, you know, do you really want a guy who's actually not hitting well to be hitting behind them. Mm-hmm. You know, and if Hayward is in the spot, the sixth or seventh spot, and he's drawing all these walks, and then the pitcher's going to be coming up soon, not sure how much that helps either. So right now I don't know that there's an answer for getting Jason Hayward going apart from just letting him continue to play and hope and understand, you know, from the Cubs' perspective, that he's eventually going to get back to his career numbers, whether that's in the two-hole, the leadoff spot, wherever.
Tony, when I'm at Wrigley, my favorite thing to do is watch Addison Russell play shortstop. The kid is unbelievable. He makes plays to his left, his right. He can get up. He's got a vertical. He comes in with the bare hand. The combination of work ethic and just natural ability with the leather, that is a combo that any shortstop would love to have. But to think at the same time that he's only 22 and he's been up for just over a year, wow, did the Cubs really kill Billy Beane with this deal. That Oakland deal, they fleeced Oakland, and Billy Beane has to think about that deal every day for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and then the Cubs kind of rubbed in his face by signing Hamill then before last year too, you know, who was obviously Samardzija was a headliner of the deal, but getting Hamill back was you know, kind of just another move from the Cubs to maybe troll Billy Beane. Obviously, that wasn't their motivation, but that's the way you could look at it, you know. And they have Addison Russell for at least another 4 or 5 years, and who knows after that. But, you know, I'm totally with you. It's awesome to watch him play. It's at the point now where I'm not even impressed by a lot of the things that he does, which is a testament to him. And then it's kind of funny, too. Yesterday, the Cubs only gave up 4 runs, but all of them are unearned because of Addison's error. And it was just a very routine type play that he bobbled. So there's a learning curve there as well. And we see it offensively when he kind of disappears for 2-3 weeks at a time in this lineup. And it's kind of scary to think too, that if you're talking 3-4 years away from his prime, or at least the beginning of his prime, this guy could be a 25 plus homer shortstop, Gold Glove winning shortstop. I mean, he might be one of the better players in the game. So, yeah, like you said, they totally fleeced Billy Beane here.
And Anthony Rizzo says he's going to be an MVP one day. So high praise from the guy. I think the MVP race is going to come down to Rizzo and Bryant. Maybe they cancel each other out down the stretch. I don't know. Those two, they're like tit for tat. They one-up each other all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Rizzo can hang on, you know, nick this back injury that he's got right now and say goodbye to that, obviously it would be better for him as well, because he's had some terrible luck and he's starting to really come into his own. But you're right, between Rizzo and Bryant right now, they're the two best players for sure on the best team in baseball. So I guess if you pick an MVP right now, which one of those are you going with?
Flip a coin. I'll flip it. Tails, Kevin, yeah. You get Bryant. Heads, I get Rizzo.
Hey, you know what? I would almost argue, I'm not kidding, that Dexter Fowler could make an argument for being the team MVP this year next to the pitching staff, because what he does to that lineup when he's in there and the numbers he was putting up before he kind of slumped the past few weeks. So don't sleep on Dexter, all right? I got love for Fowler.
All righty. There's a lot of MVPs on the team. That's the lesson.
Everybody gets an MVP.
I mean, the offense has struggled since Fowler has left here too, so that's a good point right there.
Tony Andracki covers the Cubs for CSNChicago.com. You can read his stuff, CSNChicago.com, on Twitter, at TonyAndracki23. I wonder why you picked 23.
Fear the bird, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tony Andracki from CSN Chicago. Got to grab a timeout. We will tell you the best part about soccer at 4:05. We came ready with audio. You haven't heard half of them.
I'm excited. And also, 312-981-7200, we're cycling through texts and phone calls. Are you excited or not to see Derrick Rose leaving town?
720 WGN. -91 degrees. In the city of Chicago, 720 WGN. It's 3:56 on the head. Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich on the beat. Taking you to 7 o'clock today. And then you and I are back tomorrow, 3 to 6, with Jared Payton.
With Jared, and we already have a couple guests lined up for that. Troy Murray, a WGN radio hockey color commentator, along with John Weideman on the broadcast. He'll join us to talk about all the noise going on in the world of hockey. A lot to talk about there with draft picks, Andrew Shaw getting moved right before or during the draft, actually, as the Hawks picked up a couple extra picks. So plenty to talk about there. We're looking forward to that.
Also be joined by Alex DeBrinket, who was the Hawks' 39th pick, well, the 39th overall pick, their first pick in the second round. DeBrincat scored 51 goals last year for Erie. The year before that, 51 goals, 102 goals his last 2 years.
Pretty decent. 312-981-7200. Feel free to chime in on any conversation we're having. We're asking all of you, though, are you happy that Derrick Rose was traded? Do you still want him to be a Chicago Bull, or are you happy they sent him to New York? A lot of mixed feelings, I think, so far, as we've talked about, for Derrick Rose. So chime in, 312-981-7200. We also were talking about embarrassing apps on your phone. You said you didn't really have any, but from the 224 text in, he says he has an embarrassing one. I'm a guy and I have a woman's cycle app on my phone, so I can have a heads up when my wife gets close to that time.
I was going to give a little Rose spiel, but now I can't after that.
312-981-7200. Feel free to chime in on any of these embarrassing apps. Derrick Rose getting traded. Andrew Shaw getting traded. We'd love to hear what you're thinking.
847 texting. Chicago loves hard workers with a good attitude like Shaw, not poor attitudes like Rose. Bye-bye, Rose. Be careful what you wish for, because next year you might have a team without Derrick Rose, without Jimmy Butler, no Pau Gasol, no Joakim Noah. They'll probably trade Taj Gibson. You line it up at the United Center to go see Tony Snell and Doug McDermott and Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic. I understand, let's blow it up and let's rebuild. You don't have anything right now.
Meanwhile, the Knicks, if they can get it, Joakim Noah's, a lot of rumors of him also heading to New York.
They were hanging out. Rose and Noah were hanging out in New York City. They closed down 10 Oak the other night, 3 a.m.
Phil Jackson, they said they're going to pursue Kevin Durant. That could be a potentially pretty good lineup they're going to have out in New York. Porzingis, got Melo, Rose, Noah.
Maybe Phil's finally figuring it out, or maybe he's senile. He's getting up there. 720 WGN News is next, and then we'll tell you the best part about the soccer summer. Soccer's flying. Everybody's talking about it, and we've got some funny audio to play. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Three hours left to go on your Saturday edition of The Beat. Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich on 720 WGN. The texting theme, the calling theme, 312-981-7200 that we've been trying to drive home. Are you happy to see Derrick Rose go? Plain and simple.
Simple as that. We're getting some responses on our text line. People are calling in. 630, Derrick Rose was injured so much he was like China in a bull shop. Does that make sense?
I don't like that.
Another 847. Let's see how Phil Jackson deals with General Sordis that D. Rose gets all the
time. That will happen. I would get those emails probably three times a month where he just was going to sit out for general soreness.
He was sore, Sam. And one more from the 847. D. Rose, please, good riddance. There it is.
I should also chronicle the wedding photo war going on outside.
Wedding wars on Michigan Avenue. This is fun to watch.
There are two wedding parties at opposite ends of our window, and they have been there. First of all, get a room.
Get a room. They were like making out, the bride and the groom. It's like, geez.
Yeah, and then you've got all their friends, all their matching gowns, and the guys in the tuxes. But I guess this is the time of year to be standing in the middle of the street taking pictures.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is this the first time someone's taken wedding photos on Michigan Avenue, Sam?
No. There'll probably be another shift. There's the 4 o'clock shift. There's the 6 o'clock shift.
Seriously, I wonder if they have to book this. Because the bride walking by the studio, I thought was the one taking photos in the middle there, Michigan Avenue. And it wasn't. She didn't look happy. Maybe they stole her spot for her wedding photos, throwing off her day. Wedding wars.
So we teased it. Let's get to it here. Soccer, the summer craze of soccer is here. And you could catch pretty much all these different teams and all these different countries.
Copa America, Euro
Cup. Euro Cup, the Olympics are coming up in a couple of months in Rio. 16 teams will play there. But this is something that I try and do every Sunday with Dean. Mm-hmm. We do it at 9:30. We play the goal calls. If I could ever be this excited about anything in my entire life, give it to me. That is Iceland television. Iceland with a last-minute goal.
Just bringing the noise.
Over Austria to win 2-1. That is...
I want to be that excited about something at some point in my life.
I haven't been that excited ever. I don't know.
No,
maybe it's when
I that's
when
what
I
I'm
get
saying.
Married or firstborn
Doubtful.
Son or daughter. Well, probably, yeah, probably not the first one. But he is literally... And the thing is, the call starts before
like,
the...
Like midfield. It's like in midfield is when
midfield.
He starts to build up the excitement.
Yeah. He is losing... Oh, I was looking for his name. We couldn't find his name. It is Iceland TV. So we've got a couple more calls like this, and these are all over the world. This is a goal courtesy of Univision. Still going. So he held that for 14 seconds.
He's the one that made that famous, right? Isn't that Andres Cantor? Is that his name?
Sure.
Something like that. I think he is an ESPN analyst as well. So,
so that was a 14-second hold there for the Pachuca goal. let's just roll right through here. This is another clip. This is from a different game, also broadcast on Univision.
Capitán, el 10, que viene con el trazo. Ahí está dentro de la lengua.
Argentina scored a goal. That's what I'm getting from that call. Is that what happened there?
Yeah, that was
Argentina scored.
That was a 12-second hold on goal.
All right.
This is Caracol TV. This is a, I think this is Curaçao, and this is their announcer. Listen to how long this tops the last two combined. You hear him at the end?
I was clocking that.
26 seconds that he held goal there. Do you hear the vocal cords at the end?
Mm-hmm.
They just start fluttering.
Quivering in pain.
There's no oxygen left. And you just keep going. The best player in the world is Messi.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a couple of Messi goals here. These guys just get jacked up.
La de sí para Messi. Messi enganchó como le gusta. El probó con zurda.
He has no shame in taking a breath in between. He's just going to keep take a breath and keep going.
In case you were wondering, they scored.
I wonder if John Weideman does play-by-play for the Blackhawks, could do anything like that. You know, Jonathan Toews power play goal, and he caps it off with that.
Weideman gets loud, but he's able to channel everything and mix it so well. He rarely fumbles, but his calls are in and out. You know, 15, 20 seconds. These guys say goal for a minute.
Midway through the goal, you're like, all right, if you're listening on the radio, you just want to know what happened. You know, it's a 25-second call of goal. It's like, well, what happened? Who scored? Where are we in the game? They don't care.
Here's a second Messi call.
Messi, goal, 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 goal. Increïble, no m'ho puc imaginar, no m'ho podia imaginar, no ho he vist mai això, no ho he vist mai, increïble, quina jugada.
So you heard the word incredible in Spanish three times there. Messi, 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 Messi. And people are walking by outside the window wondering if somebody's being murdered inside the studio.
We have speakers directed towards the sidewalk here on Michigan Avenue. And the look people were giving towards our studio, like, what is happening there? WGN Radio carrying Mexican soccer games now? Are they getting the Argentina call on WGN Radio?
We have one call in English here, but there's a twist. This is the famous announcer from England, Ray Hudson.
Like a Jedi Knight. No, better than that, a Templar Knight. This is a flash of pure inspiration. And let me tip my hat to the genesis of this goal, Ibarra. Lionel only absolutely lights it up here. He lifts off it, flamethrowers it past. Poor Renny Vega. It's just as well Renny didn't get a hand to that.
So,
flamethrowers it. That's wonderful. I could listen to those all day.
Can we? You know what? Let's re-rack. We'll go to break, but I want to hear that first one again. This is the Iceland TV call. If you missed it earlier, this was the first one. We're going to bookend it and play it again. WGN, Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich with you until 7 o'clock. It is The Beat. Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue will be back next Saturday. It'll be Kevin and I back in here tomorrow with Jared Payton. Rave reactions to the goal calls on the text line. Can you do more?
Just outstanding. We'll recycle some of those and we'll find some more for the by the end of the show. Yes, I want to hear more as well.
The funniest part about those goal calls is I gave you the truncated version. Some of those.
Right.
The one guy went 2 minutes without taking a breath.
It's impressive. You know the insider soccer broadcasters, you know they're all trying to one-up each other, right? Like at the end of the night, they go back and see, all right, who had the longest goal call tonight?
You've got to tip your announcers. That's the way it goes. That is high-quality entertainment. And those
Love
are it. TV calls, too, a lot of them. You don't really need all that pizzazz. You know, in the NFL,
right.
It's touchdown, and then you hear the crowd. These announcers kind of make it about themselves, but it
wonderful.
Creates good audio.
We'll get back to those at some point throughout the show. 312-981-7200 is the text line and the call line. The text question of the day that we've thrown out there, and we're getting plenty of responses. Are you happy Derrick Rose is gone? Are you happy he was traded to the Knicks? Tell us why. 312-981-7200. So I'm pulling up this list here. I've got what the Bulls' current depth chart and salary situation looks like, Sam. The point guard position is sizzling hot right now. Jose Calderon, Jaren Grant, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie bringing the heat.
Big pile of crap.
Shooting guards, Jimmy Butler, Denzel Valentine, the recently drafted Denzel Valentine, and Tony Snell. One guy to get sort of kind of excited about there.
I'm going to be sick.
Let's look at the small forwards here, Sam. Mike Dunleavy, Doug McDermott, and Denzel Valentine, if you want to stretch them out to the small forward position.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Power forwards, Taj Gibson, Nico, and Bobby Portis. That's actually not that bad.
I'm about to call the Bulls and cancel my season tickets.
And your centers currently are Robin Lopez and Cristiano Felicio. That's your current lineup right now for the Chicago Bulls. Now, many have argued, or at least brought up the point, okay, if you're willing to just part with Derrick Rose, and it made complete sense. It was the day before the draft. They needed to do it. They needed his contract's expiring. They weren't going to bring him back. Rose is looking for another max deal or a big deal. So you move him. Is Jimmy Butler the guy you think you can really build a team around?
Yes. Of course. What do you mean? You need good players to win games. You need
superstars.
Yeah,
I wasn't arguing. I'm saying that people are bringing up that point.
And this trade rumor that came out, and I didn't believe it. I was tweeting about this all night. I said, if they actually do that deal where they trade Jimmy Butler for a number five pick and Zach LaVine, what are you doing? You know, I liken Butler's contract. It's not as advantageous as Chris Sales. You talk about Sales nice. Contract all the time.
That's a steal.
How he is under team control so cheap for so long. With the salary cap going up to $95 million in the NBA, $95 million, and you're paying Jimmy $17, $18.
Yeah, he's making $17.5 next year.
That is a steal for a two-way player. Okay, he's not a top five player in the league, but you can't be picky when you have nothing else.
Looking at the contract, you know what's not a steal? Robin Lopez is due to make $13.2 million. Does that seem a bit much, or am I looking too much into that? I mean, I guess.
For
right?
a rim a protector guy. And a guy that's going to start and come in and maybe score 7 points. But
is he a poor man Joakim Noah? Is that how you would
you
describe
You know what
him?
He looks like? Sideshow Bob.
He looks like Brook Lopez.
Well, they're twins.
Right.
They're twins.
But he looks like him.
That is 14 feet of Lopez. And they used to play together on the floor at Stanford. They both went to Stanford. Yeah. And you had a lot of guts if you were going to take it to the rim. Because if you got past one, you had to go over the other.
How deep did they take that team? I remember they were a story for a while.
They beat Marquette at the buzzer. I remember Brook Lopez hit a floating runner that kind of went around the rim, I think off the backboard and down. They didn't make it to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Maybe a Sweet 16. Taj Gibson's making just under $9 million. Your thoughts on Taj?
It's a package deal with Jimmy. If Jimmy's here, Taj is here. If Jimmy goes, Taj is gone. They might even try and package them together. That is the last guard. I mean, you think about the guys that were on that team, the 2012 team that was the number one seed. Derek was a year removed from the MVP. He won the MVP in 2010-11. Mm-hmm. The next year, they were the number one seed. He tears his ACL in April of 2012. There are only two guys left from that team, Jimmy and Taj. That's it. That's all you've got left. Noah's not coming back. And Gar Forman, we'll talk about this with John Greenberg after 5 o'clock from The Athletic. Gar Forman is just lying to people now. He's just telling lies at press conferences. And he said on draft night that we're not shopping Jimmy Butler. Of course you are. He said he had conversations with all 30 teams. He said 30, even though he means 29, because the Bulls, you can't have a conversation with yourself, really. But what are these teams calling for, Kev? Are they calling for Felicio? Are they calling for McDermott? No, they're calling for Jimmy Butler because you've made it clear that you aren't going to protect anybody. He even said, the only untradeable player I've ever seen was Michael Jordan. So therefore, you are shopping Jimmy Butler, but you just said you aren't shopping Jimmy Butler.
Well, internally and
I'm so confused.
Internally and externally, what we've been able to consume, media and the fans, you get mixed messages. Internally, we've heard all kinds of reports of, I mean, think about how weird it's been and just strange the way they fire their team physician because there was so much weird tension there between Rose's camp and team doctors that you're firing people because there's so much secrecy and nobody can admit to anything because nobody knows, you know, is Fred Hoiberg a soldier for management? What can we say to Fred? What can't we say to Fred? What can we say to Tibbs when he was here? It's this whole weird, like, scenario there with the Bulls, and you get mixed messages from them.
The Bulls have fired a top three coach in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They've traded away their homegrown hero, and now, whether they admit it or not, they're willing to trade the guy they just signed to a max contract.
But they do have a guy on their roster named Spencer Dinwiddie. Do you have your Dinwiddie jersey yet?
I don't. I haven't worn a jersey of another man in a long time. It's probably since I was about 11 years old.
I'm excited about Dinwiddie, Sam. 312-981-7200. Are you happy Derrick Rose is gone? You guys let us know. Give us your thoughts. Derrick Rose from the 219. Derrick Rose could have starred in the movie Unbreakable.
I wonder where all these people were before he got hurt. If they were fans of him. Or is it fun to kick somebody when they're done?
Well,
and I
is...
know he said some stupid things, but here's the problem that I have. So many fans and media members blast athletes for not being honest and being open. And Derrick Rose, he was as honest as possible.
Right, but sometimes you gotta. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
So, I understand that, but you can't play both sides of that. You can't say, well, you've got to give me more. We want more, 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 and then say, well, he says too much. You know, you can't play both sides of that, and I've heard people do that.
Well, we'll talk to John Greenberg more about this. What I want to get from John and get his thoughts on is, when was the moment, was it gradual, was there a specific individual moment where fans did start changing their minds about Derrick Rose? where the Bulls Nation turned on him. We'll talk to John Greenberg at
5:05 from The Athletic. I actually just signed up for The Athletic. I got a deal. It's a dollar for the first 90 days.
Can't John give us some sort of like code to type in so we can get it for free?
White Sox, by the way, lose 10-8. They hit 7 solo home runs.
And Brett Laurie hit back-to-back home runs. One out of the park. One was an inside-the-park homer. Back-to-back. He was the first guy since Ron Santo to do that with the White Sox since 1974.
Let's take Justin real quick before we grab a timeout. 312-981-7200. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What's up?
Hey, love the show. Just wanted to give my 2 cents on the Derrick Rose trade. Obviously, anytime you get rid of somebody who's as injury prone as he is, you know, you're not making too bad of a move, you know?
Are you calling from a cave? Where are you right now?
He's in a wind tunnel. I agree with you, Justin. He's a guy you can't rely on. You're paying him that amount of money, and you weren't going to sign him because of those the injury-prone and sort of just a weight off everybody's shoulders, including Derrick Rose's. Again, we're going to get more into this at 5:05. Up next,
we've got Chris Hines, Chicago Tribune. It talks to Blackhawks, timeout, news. Then Chris Hines, 720 WGN.
Kane through center ice, over the blues line, quick pass to Taves, left circle. Turning away with a puck to the half board, sets up Keith at the line deep slot. To Taves, top of the left wing circle. To Shaw beside the net, he shoots, he scores! That deflects off Bouwmeester in front of the Blues net and went right through the pads of Elliott into the back of the Blues net. The Hawks fans here in St. Louis celebrate. The Hawks connect on the power play and tie it at 2.
Blackhawks Radio, John Weideman with the call. Lots of Blackhawks news.
Oh, yeah.
This past week as we welcome you back to the beat. 720 WGN, Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich, Patrick Kane wins the Hart, league MVP, Artemi Panarin, the Calder for the Rookie of the Year. And then the other side of that, where you start having to deal away players because of this salary cap. The crunch continues. It's Andrew Shaw this time. He is flexed to Montreal for a couple of draft picks. And to talk Hawks and all things hockey, really, in this city, we go to, from the Chicago Tribune, Chris Hine, who's on the Blackhawks beat. Hey, Chris, happy Saturday. Are you still in Buffalo, I imagine?
I am. I got a couple hours before my flight leaves. I couldn't get on the flight that's leaving now that has half of the Blackhawks staff on it. It was completely full. In part because they're all on that flight.
Now, is that a happy flight? Is that a sad flight? Or is it somewhere in the middle because of what happened this week?
You know, it looks like it was a happy flight. I saw a lot of smiling faces. They seem pretty happy with how the weekend went, to be honest with you.
All right, Chris. Well, let's get everybody caught up here. They deal Andrew Shaw for the 2 picks when Brian Bickle was moved along with Teuvo Teravainen, and many thought that was a sign that Andrew Shaw would remain with the Blackhawks. What happened? What scenario sort of played out here where the Hawks were forced to deal Shaw?
Oh, yeah, everybody, you know, I didn't buy into the narrative that they trade away Teuvo Teravainen to keep Andrew Shaw because Teravainen was making less than $1 million or had a cap hit of less than $1 million for next season. I never thought it was an either-or scenario. I think what happened was the Hawks would have liked to have re-signed Andrew Shaw, but when the cap number came in at $73 million, which is only an increase of $1.6 million of where the cap was a year ago, I think that really changed the dynamic. It changed the dynamic in terms of the Hawks, you know, only being able to really pay either Shaw or Kruger that kind of money, that three and a half, maybe up to $4 million a year. And I just think it was too expensive. Shaw proved easier to move in a trade, and Kruger brings some things defensively and on the penalty kill that nobody else on the Hawks roster has. So I think at the end of the day, because Shaw was a little easier to move, because Stan Bowman had a very willing trade partner in Mark Bergevin, the guy who scouted Andrew Shaw when Shaw was drafted a couple of years ago here in Chicago, you know, I just think that scenario just kind of lined up nicely for the Hawks, and they got 2 second-round picks out of it.
So when Joel Quenneville says at the end of the season presser that Andrew Shaw is irreplaceable, but yet they go out and they deal him, what do you make of that, Chris? Because I get you wanted a guy who could get dirty around the net and get the greasy goals and tip shots and all that, but at the end of the day, this is a guy that's pretty much a bottom six forward, and you just didn't have the money to pay him, right?
Yeah, guys like Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, they're irreplaceable. Andrew Shaw, while he's very versatile and does a lot of really good things on the ice, he's more replaceable than those guys, in my opinion, than those guys are. And the kind of money and the kind of length of contract that I'm seeing coming out of Montreal right now, there are reports that Shaw's looking at a deal for 5 to 7 years in Montreal. And I just don't think the Hawks were willing to commit to that long term of a contract. So, they have to re-sign Artemi Panarin to an extension. You know, his contract is up after this year, and they want to keep him around for a while. You know, they have Kruger locked in for 3 years at $3.1 million. And they've got all this money committed to the core group that's taking up a significant portion of their cap space that, yeah, it's just one of those – he's a cap casualty. He had to go, something had to give, somebody had to go. And so far this offseason, it's been Teuvo Teravainen and Andrew Shaw. Last year, it was Brandon Saad and Patrick Sharp and Johnny Oduya.
Chris, the Blackhawks have said it's too early to really even start thinking about the expansion draft, but their social media ramblings, people talking about part of the reason they were sort of a little bit more willing to deal Toews is because he probably wouldn't have been a guy that wouldn't have survived the expansion draft, would have been taken off the roster. Did you hear any of that, or was that no truth to any of that?
I hadn't heard anything like that Teuvo Teravainen, and the reason they dealt Teravainen was because of a possible expansion draft. No, I think that's just speculation, to be honest with you. We talked with Sam Bowman the other day, and we asked him about the expansion draft, and he said, if you're, at least from his perspective, if you're making moves because of an expansion draft that's happening, 12 months from now, that's a problem. He said, you're only going to lose one player in this expansion draft. Everybody's getting all hyped up about it. But when you look at the rules of the expansion draft, every team is going to lose one player and only one player. So, whether you lose Teravainen or Andrew Shaw or whoever in an expansion draft, I think it's just it's overreacting a little bit to say that the expansion draft is driving so much of this movement right now.
Chris Hine covers the Blackhawks beat for the Chicago Tribune. He's with us on the beat, 720 WGN. So the Andrew Shaw money, I know he was a free agent, but that money comes off. Does this create space? Is Andrew Ladd a possibility to come back? We've heard whispers about Brian Campbell. What do they do now that they have a little bit of money to work with?
I think Brian Campbell is very much in play. I think shoring up the blue line and the defense is something that is at the top of their priority lists right now. And you have Tomas Kempny, who's coming over from the Czech Republic, I think they have high hopes for him and what he can do. If you get Brian Campbell, somebody who's familiar with Joel Quenneville, because as we've seen, defensemen meshing with Joel Quenneville can be an issue sometimes. And so if you have a guy like Brian Campbell, who's been there before, who's played under Joel Quenneville, who knows what to expect, his style meshes well. He's won with the Hawks. I think that even though he's a little older, a little, maybe a step slower than he used to be, he's still somebody that could fit in well and I think can add much needed depth on the blue line. Now, as for Andrew Ladd, that's an interesting scenario to me because I do think there could be room because the Hawks don't have to extend Panarin or his contract won't take effect until next season. I think there's a little bit of room there to sign somebody to a one-year deal, kind of like they did with Brad Richards a few years ago. If you remember, Richards came in on a one-year deal for cheap. Now, I don't know how much Andrew Ladd is going to be willing to take in terms of a discount because there are reports out of Winnipeg that he turned down a deal that was worth $6 million per year. Now, if he's talking about a deal for – if he's talking about a discount for $5 or $4 million, I don't know that the Hawks are going to make that work. But if he wants to come back for maybe a year for in the neighborhood of what Andrew Shaw might have made, then that might be doable. But we'll see what happens over the next week or two here. I think we'll have an answer to that very soon.
Chris, I'm curious to get your thoughts on your new road trip, assuming the Blackhawks down the road will play that game in Las Vegas. That is the ultimate fan vacation where you go out there for a bachelor party and go to a Hawks game. What are your thoughts about covering hockey in Las Vegas?
I thought Patrick Kane had a pretty good line about that. He said he thought that the team in Las Vegas is going to have a really good home record because road teams are going to be coming in there and partying it up the night before a game and playing hungover the next day. I thought that was a pretty good line. I'm excited for it. I mean, you have road trips on this beat where you're going to like Winnipeg and Edmonton and
Calgary,
Newark. And you know what? Calgary's not that bad. It's not terrible. I mean, it's no Las Vegas by any means, but it's not the worst city in the world. I'll say that. But Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Newark, like, I just, you know, I'd rather stay home on those trips, to be honest with you. So having Las Vegas enter the mix, you're not going to find a writer in the NHL that's complaining about that.
And Chris, before we let you go, the Hawks select 9 players at the NHL draft. Your overall assessment of how they how it all turned out, and your thoughts on the players they got.
It's so hard to you know, unlike the NFL or the NBA, where you know you make a first round pick and you want that guy to contribute right away. You know, the Hawks draft these guys, and you know it's going to be years before you ever see them emerging, whether it's in Rockford or coming up to the main roster. I do think that the first person they picked, say, the first player they picked, Alex DeBrincat, who is out of the Ontario Hockey League, scored 51 goals each of the last 2 seasons in the Ontario Hockey League.
That's good, right? Is that good?
That's really good. That's really good. Now, the knock on him, why he fell so far is because he's 5'7". He is small. Like really small. I saw before we interviewed him today, you know, that he was 5'7". And then you see him in person, it's like, wow, he is really undersized. So that's why he fell. But the scoring ability is there. And you know, the Hawks, you know, they're not afraid to take guys who are undersized but have a lot of skill. So you know, it'll be interesting to see his progression over the next few years. You know. We'll see if he gets up to the Hawks sooner rather than later.
You can read him in the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter, at Christopher Hine. Thank you for joining us here on The Beat. Enjoy that trip home. Get back to Chicago, will you?
I will. I'll be there later tonight.
Thanks,
maybe.
Chris.
All right, Chris. Take care. Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. I like the they drafted this goalie, the Blackhawks. His name is Wouter Peters.
Wouter Peters.
Wouter Peters. Peters. Wouter Peters. They also have the one guy, and my buddy Chief brought this up on social media. His name is Artur Kayumov. He's from Russia. And Chief tweeted out that not only is he a very skilled hockey player, but apparently he gives himself his own haircut. He's got like
out his biopic. You'll get it.
His biopic. It looks like, you know, in like first grade when you got that kid who's always cutting his hair. He comes
straight
home,
across.
Yeah, just no.
A Dumb and Dumber look.
He's eating glue and he's cutting his hair with the scissors. That's what his haircut looks like. So we got to get him a barber. He's 18 years old, only from Russia, so he's got a long way to go. But that is a haircut that leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, DeBrincat, as Chris was saying, 5'7", 165 pounds.
And for reference, Kane is, probably, I think, 5'9", a buck.
Apparently
80.
He's bulked up quite a bit already this offseason.
No, Patrick Kane's a little guy.
He's ready to drop the gloves next season. He's bulking up. You see him? He looked like in good shape.
He's losing his hair.
Nice.
That hair. Danny, vouch me up on this one. Patrick Kane is bald at what age?
You know, I'm not good with
you're doing the over
hair
projections.
I'm going to say 34. He's coming home. At 34, he's coming home.
Your hair projection game is weak right now, Dan?
I thought, yeah, of all Long? People. So they list Kane at 5'11". That is not true. He's not 5'11". 177.
I've got 5'10 listed here on Wikipedia. It's more accurate. I like the, yeah, he might be bald a little bit. No, he looked fine. I'm looking up closer. He's got
he did look jacked.
He's got the flow going.
That is, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. What are you talking about?
No.
You're looking good, Kane. Don't worry.
And you're the MVP. You can do whatever you want with
your hair. Don't worry, DeBrincat. Kane's not that big, and he just won the Hart Trophy.
The smaller you are, the quicker you are, the That's harder right. you are to catch.
There you go.
720 WGN. Five minutes before 5, The Beat, 720 WGN. Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich, John Greenberg joins us in about 10 minutes from now, lead columnist for The Athletic. I wanted to do this real quick, though. I wanted to throw a double shout-out here in the family. My Uncle Mike, known more importantly as the Cheech, a hole-in-one yesterday.
The Cheech!
On the 12th hole at Burnham.
At Burnham!
And his wife, my Aunt Karen, just retired from Metro. They are moving to Tennessee.
Tennessee!
Next month. So happy retirement. Love you guys and hope that...
You're not a golfer, right?
No. I can't even watch it.
I was going to say, if you had a hole-in-one, but you can't even watch golf? I love it, man.
No, I can watch it. I just...
unfortunate.
I'm so pessimistic about it. But congratulations and happy retirement is the moral of the story.
It's phenomenal. The PGA Tour has canceled the Greenbrier Classic due to the horrible flooding in West Virginia. There's actually been multiple deaths statewide. Unfortunate stuff in Greenbrier County. West Virginia just getting 9 inches of rain throughout the weekend. The entire golf course is flooded. First time a golf tournament's been canceled since 2009. That's a bummer. There's photos of the golf course. You can't see the course. It looks like you're looking at a river running through the entire golf course.
Do you remember your first hole-in-one? Have you had one yet?
You always remember your first, Sam.
I've never had one. I don't even get hole-in-ones in mini golf.
I have one in my life, yeah.
Where? Yeah.
It was at the Golf Center Des Plaines.
Where's the?
Is that a real course, or is that the thing with bubble?
It's a par three. So it's sort of a cheapie. Because it was a par three course, but still, it was a hole in one. It was on the third hole at Golf Center Des Plaines. And I hit a nice little wedge in there close, and there was a glare. I think I was playing in the morning. There was a glare on the green. You know, there's still some dew on it, so sometimes you can't really see. So I'm walking up. I go, where's my ball? That was going right at it. And I look in the hole, it was in there.
My dad had friends.
It was awesome, by the way.
That I'm sure it was. My dad had friends that had boys on the green. So, you know, they'd whack one into the weeds.
They had what on the what?
Boys on the green, where they'd hit one into the trees on the left side of the fairway, but the ball would end up on the green.
Oh, I got you.
See, you got somebody hiding in the bushes just, you know, rolling balls out on the green.
Pulling the old Donald Trump on the golf course.
That's pretty much what it is. That's pretty much what it is.
Got a hole in your pocket.
Cheating your friends in golf.
Sliding it through your pant leg. 10 feet from the hole.
What kind of man? What kind of woman are you?
Classic
cheating in
move.
Golf.
Get into the golf friends. Game, Sam. Give it a try, man.
No,
you're
get
athletic.
Into the hoops game.
I've been playing basketball my whole life.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
I will pick up golf probably. No, I don't know if I ever will.
Golf's a lot harder than basketball.
I'm not that strong between the ears for golf. Have the patience.
Worst case scenario, you crack a beer and light a cigar and have a good time on the course.
Well, I'm down for that, but I can do that at home.
All right, man. You're just missing out, okay? It's awesome. Because it's like you play baseball, right?
Yep.
You play baseball. Remember when you hit a home run and just you hit that sweet spot of the barrel?
Yeah.
You never forget it.
I do.
That's like in golf when you just hit that one great pure shot off the lower part of the club face, just smooth, perfect ball flight, piercing shot, Sam. It's addicting. Golf is a disease.
When I golf, I hit the 5-year-old kid like two holes over because my slice
just get dangerous.
Whips out of the way and pelts some innocent bystander. John Greenberg is going to join the program. Speaking of innocent bystanders, lead columnist for The Athletic after news. But first, these messages on 720 WGN. Too bad about the phone connection there, Johnny Greenberg from The Athletic. Maybe we can figure something out before 7 o'clock. Here on The Beat, 720 WGN, Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovic. Lots going on in sports. Derrick Rose dealt, Andrew Shaw dealt. Are we going to bring back those goal calls? By popular demand, we were playing. I had teased it that it was the best part of the summer soccer season. Yeah. All the different countries and teams playing all over the networks. You got Fox and CBS and ESPN and all the announcers from all the native countries. And we were playing Iceland calls and Colombian calls.
I'm not too proud to admit that was the best part of the show so far. Us not even talking. Just the play-by-play men giving us their calls.
Let's do that. Phenomenal. How about we'll bring it back at 6:30. We'll bring it up before we do crosstalk about 6:55. We'll bring back those soccer goal calls, if you missed them. These are announcers going bananas over goals in soccer. 312-981-7200. The overlying texting theme from today. Are you happy to see Derrick Rose go? Got a text here from the 773. People are quick to forget what Derek did for the Bulls. I hate the haters. Injuries are tough. He was building back. We saw glimpses, and he's going to show out in New York. I'm rooting for him in New York.
So am
I. I hope he plays well. I hope he's an all-star.
But everybody had to move on here. Both parties involved.
100%. I agree with you all the way through. It was time to move on.
But maybe, you know, Derrick Rose also in the presser said, I'm not sure why they traded me.
I think that was a slight at the Bulls. I have been told that they have been trying to get in touch with Derrick for weeks.
Right, all summer.
Gar Forman picks up the phone and either gets a voicemail right away, like the ice button. You know, you get the green button and the red button. Derrick was either hitting the red button or it was just ringing through.
Well, somebody asked at the presser, Gar, what did Derek say when you called him? And Foreman's like, actually, I haven't talked to him yet. He didn't answer his phone.
We did talk to his agent, though. Gar Foreman.
We talked to BJ. Oh, you have some thoughts on Gar. Let's hear him.
Just
fire away. Bring me some
just
hot takes.
Lies. Lie. Spin.
And what did he lie about?
Well, first of all, to tell the reporters at the draft, and the entire first 2 hours of the draft, the rumblings on Twitter, the rumors on television, the Bulls are shopping Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. And if it's one source, okay. If it's two, when you've got very, very, very credible sources and solid reporters and talking heads all saying the same thing. I mean, Casey Johnson from the Tribune, Nick Friedel, ESPN Chicago. I mean, you had guys that were on this from the start, and it kept heating up. And then you saw Mark Stein get on it. And you saw Woj get... I mean, Woj is the guy picking people three picks ahead.
Yeah,
the TV's on pick seven. Woj is announcing pick 10.
Yeah, teams consult with him about what they should do with their rosters.
So Gar Forman says that the Bulls didn't make any calls during the draft about Jimmy Butler. The Jimmy Butler thing exploded in the draft. And he said, well, we had conversations with all 29 teams. Okay, well, what are these teams calling about then? You mean they're calling about this scrap heap of bums on this roster? Are they calling about
Spencer Dinwiddie?
Doug McDermott and Bobby Portis and...
This is fun. I knew this would get you going. I'm like, I'm going to throw some Gar
Forman. Well, and then he's saying, you know, we're very confident we're going to sit down with Joakim Noah's camp on July 1st. Joakim is not sitting down.
Yeah, Joakim Noah is no longer going to play
not.
For the Chicago
That's
Bulls.
Over. That's over. Pau Gasol, over. You know, and he...
Pau Gasol will live on for a long time, Sam. Did you see what he did with his... Can I say that?
He's actually going to play in the Olympics now.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
He was freezing something, a bodily fluid.
His DNA.
Yeah, his DNA. So that if he went to the
Zika
Olympics in Rio...
And got the Zeke...
Yeah.
He'd still have some little Pau.
That's gross.
I'm just reporting what he reported to everybody else.
So Gar Forman not shopping Jimmy Butler. Didn't make any... Then it was we didn't call anybody about Jimmy. I mean, he just twisted and contorted his... And it's almost like he's telling so many fake truths that he gets lost in the web. And, of course, with the Bulls, it's almost like as long as you protect the shield and deflect, it's okay. I mean, you know, John Paxson's okay with what he said. Jerry Reinsdorf's okay with what he said because he's not sharing inner organization secrets. But he just looks like a goof. Somebody asked him about the cap space after the trade, and he just kind of went, You can see him doing the math, you know, in his brain. But he's just, I don't know what to make of him. And then... The craziest thing that he tried to spin was that he didn't know Jimmy Butler was in the building. I was on the phone with our station. I was outside doing a hit on the download.
How did he not know that?
And I'm on the phone. I'm the only person outside in front of the double doors at Advocate Center on Madison and Wood. And I'm doing a hit, and all of a sudden a white Range Rover pulls up, and Jimmy Butler gets out of the front seat, passenger side, strolls into the Advocate Center, walks down the hallway up toward the offices. And, you know, the question was asked to Gar Forman. Did Jimmy come in here to talk about his future? Did he say, if you're going to trade me? And Gar, dumbfounded as ever, I didn't know Jimmy was here. The janitor knew he was there. The people that were putting the food out in the break room knew he was there. Everybody knew he was there. You're telling me you didn't know he was there?
What kind of food was there?
I don't even remember. It's not the point.
Oh, I thought that was the point.
It's not the point. Didn't know Jimmy Butler was there. Are you kidding me?
I was waiting for this all day to get to Gar.
I just
let Sammy go.
You could just count. I don't want to say they're all lies, but it's just it's deflect, and then it's Shield, and it's.
But again, we talked about this earlier that there are it's such poor. I don't even want to say communicate. The mixed messages throughout the entire organization, not only the ones they give externally to the media, to the fans, but internally, it's like, who is in control there? You know, and there was always that struggle between Tibbs and management. We knew that was there for multiple years, and they were waiting for a chance to fire Tibbs, and they did. And Fred Hoiberg comes in, and the players feel like they can't trust him because they feel in some ways he's almost a spy for management. In some ways. In some respects, he's their guy.
And now there's spies on the coaching staff. Randy Brown is a spy for Gar.
Yep.
And Pete Myers is looking out for others in the front office. And it's just, I don't know. It's the same thing with the White Sox. You question who's in charge there. Is it Kenny? Is it Rick Hahn? You don't really know at the end of the day, but that doesn't really seem to matter. Everybody just kind of goes along their merry way, and people get promoted. People don't get fired. 312 texting in, Gar and Pax need to go. Rose will be great this year. It's a contract year. We know how much Derek has been looking forward to free agency of 2017. He talked about it at Media Day of 2015. Ugh, it's a mess. The organization they weren't trying to rebuild. But somehow they are now rebuilding. This wasn't the plan here. This was a championship contending team last year.
Before last year, they were 100% a legitimate contender to at least compete in the Eastern Conference.
They had the Cavs up 2-1 in the playoffs. Yeah. Derek hit that banking three ball, falling away over LeBron, and they were up 2-1. And then LeBron ripped their hearts out in game four, and then they won the last two games. But I always say this about this team. Be careful what you wish for. You look at the team they had last year with Thibodeau and Rose and Noah and Butler.
The core is gone. And there was a moment when Derek started, when you realized that, okay, he's not coming back from that injury 2012. Because what happened was before, everyone loved Derek Rose. Then the injury comes, and then there was, okay, it's fine. He's going to get better. He's going to come back, and the Bulls are going to be right back in it. And then he sat out the entire next season when doctors had cleared him to, and he could have came back and played the last, month or two?
They cleared him in February or March?
To come back in March, whatever it was. Okay, so then that's sort of where you started to see some of the fans turn on him a little bit. And then you realize he just wasn't going to be the same player. And then the injuries came back again, and he was never on the court. And then there was Derrick Rose dismissing team doctors and his camp deciding when he's going to play. A couple of boneheaded decisions. And then you start realizing, you know what, this is a team that we're going to see play the majority of the core for the last 6, 7, 8 years, who if they were able to get past LeBron James and the Cavaliers and or the Heat one time, they probably would have won a championship, and they could never do it. And that core, which was a really, really damn good basketball team for a while, it's gone now, and that championship window is gone. That window is boarded up, it's nailed shut. It's rebuilding time for the Bulls.
So if you want them to trade Jimmy Butler, okay. Be careful what you wish for, because then you're building around Doug McDermott and Bobby Portis.
And Dinwiddie.
The point stands. 720 WGN.
I feel like I'm great right now as far as like getting through my rehabs and just having the opportunity to just play basketball. I feel like that's the only thing I was missing these last couple of years was my rhythm. I was strong. I felt like my body was strong. You go through the season, you get nagging injuries, but I felt like my body held up. And this summer, it's all about conditioning and catching that rhythm again.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Who knows? See you later, Derek.
You happy to see Derek gone? That's the theme. 312-981-7200. The Beat, 720 WGN. Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovich at 536. You said you had something on your mind you wanted to get to?
Well, so I get in here, I don't know, 1:30 or so. kind of all normally will meet up in the office upstairs. Downtown Danny Long's doing work, production stuff.
In the cave. Danny's in the cave
in the
over
cave,
there.
In the cave, pulling audio. So I got in, and I'm like, I'm going to go across the street and go to Starbucks. I'm going to go to get a salad, Corner Bakery. All right? So I go get my coffee. I come back, and I'm eating there. I'm eating there. And you had your back turned. You didn't even, first of all, I walk in. You don't even, like, acknowledge me. I go, what's up, Sam? You're like, hey. I'm like, all right, great. Well, granted, you did get up at, like, 6 in the morning and did a 5-hour sports anchor
I was in that
morning.
Vampire trance in the corner of the office where I was half asleep, half awake.
Well, you can be a little nicer when I walk in, Sam, and you see me for the first time of the day. But I'm just, that's a whole other story. So I walk in, and I'm sitting there, and you don't even look at me. 15 minutes goes by. You finally get up to go to the bathroom or something. You see what I'm eating, a salad.
Yeah.
And I got all sorts of grief from you about it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. I remember that. That was like 4 hours ago. And you gave me all sorts of grief for it. I'm trying to tighten things up, Sam, right? Keep it tight. Keep it right. Last time you and I, when it was just you and me hosting, I think we were doing this, right? We were doing the beat.
It was New Year's Day. Or was it the day? It was, I think, January 2nd.
January 4th was the last time I had fast food this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're giving me grief over eating a salad. I'd like to bring in Susan. If she's listening here, get her thoughts on this. I don't think she was listening to us. Sorry if she
I'm here. What's the subject matter?
So Sam was giving me grief for eating a salad. And he says I eat too many salads now. And he said that I should be ashamed of myself as a man for eating salads all the time.
And that's a little bit of a stretch.
It's kind of just like you're really just looking after yourself, but I mean, I guess it's not macho to eat salads.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. Let's say you went on a date with a guy, and first date, and you order whatever, the chicken or the fish, and he orders like a salad. What would your thoughts be on that?
You know, that would be a little bit alarming.
Right, like you want the guy to take you out on the first date and order like a steak or something, right? Or is that too much?
I have to confess. Yeah. A steak,
steak,
even a pork chop.
Okay.
So if he says, I'll take the salad with the cranberries and the oranges and the walnuts and the apricots, that's a red flag.
I hate to admit it, but yes.
I mean, it should be. It should be. I mean, we live in a PC world, but first date etiquette, you don't get a salad.
So Suze is agreeing with you here, Sam, that I need to tone it down with my salad intake.
Susan, here's the thing, because when I met Kevin, he would eat like, you know, 2 Italian beefs in one sitting.
Right.
And now, a couple years later, here we are, and he's healthy, and it's good. He looks good. But
then you're bringing in all this candy into the studio, and then I'm eating the candy, and you're doing the thing where you put it right in front of the person because you're, like, annoyed that they're eating healthy, so you're trying to plant some bad junk food. That's what you did to me the past hour, and I housed a bunch of those gummy worms.
So when you go home tonight and get in the snack drawer, it's my fault.
I'm staying away from the snack drawer. But I did want to get the woman's perspective there. That's interesting because I thought you were going to back me up, Suze, and just support me eating salads all the time and trying to –
Well,
you know,
here's what I missed, though. Are you eating salads solo, or are you eating them on dates? That's the part I missed.
Yeah, if I was on a date, I wouldn't order a salad. I mean, like, the first few or so. Like, the first few dates, I wouldn't. But maybe as it progressed. I was just trying to get, you know, my nutrients in for the day before this physically exhausting, grueling 4-hour shift here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to get the salad in. Sam is just killing me over it.
Well, I think we're good to go because there's nothing wrong with you eating salads. But to Sam's point, you know, on first dates and stuff, you know, let it go till the third or fourth date and maybe just order the salad at lunchtime.
Good to know. I'm taking notes. Thank you, Suze. last time, Sam, so we're talking about fast food the last time you and I were on because I had told you January 4th was the last day this year is my New Year's resolution to not eat fast food.
And we got into a knockdown, drag-down brawl over Portillo's.
So we're almost 6 full months through the year, halfway point, haven't had fast food. But the debate was, what is considered fast food? I have a loophole in the system. It's called 7-Eleven.
Yeah, you get that 7-Eleven pizza.
No, there's no drive-through window. So remember, because that was the debate.
If there's a drive-through, it's fast food. You cannot argue that. If there's a window with a person with a headset on that says pull around for your total and your food, that's fast food.
And 7-Eleven has stepped up their game in the culinary world. I go and get a couple steak and cheese taquitos, maybe a slice of za here or there. So that's my loophole. Susan, would you consider 7-Eleven food fast food?
Yes.
You would?
I would.
Why would you consider fast food? Just sort of the style that it's presented and cooked up?
Well, it's outsourced. It's not like there's even a makeshift kitchen in the back. It's coming in on trucks, then they display it. The rollers, yeah, but you never know how long something has been turning on a roller.
Susan, there's a reason those gas station hot dogs are a dollar.
There is a reason.
It's not even meat.
It tastes good to me.
Oh, geez.
I didn't say it wouldn't taste good, but, you know, 7-Eleven is fast food.
Would you consider Portillo's fast food?
No.
It is fast food. There's a drive-thru. You get it in 10 minutes.
I get it, but there is a fully functional kitchen. They offer great chopped salads, which, you know, Kevin's into the salads. Mm-hmm. you know, yes, it's a drive-thru, but it's such a well-organized drive-thru out by me. They even have...
Oh, they're experts.
You know, they just funnel you through. It's great. So I don't think Portillo's is fast food.
That's what I'm talking about, Suze. That's what I'm talking about, because I have a couple of my, you know, exemptions in this no fast food world I've entered this year in 2016, giving it up January 4th. Portillo's I can still eat, and 7-Eleven. Those are my two go-to.
So how long does this trek last?
I don't know.
When do you get to the point when you can actually go through a drive-thru and not feel guilty about it?
Well, I'll feel guilty about it. I don't know. I haven't decided when to end the New Year's resolution. However, because everyone always breaks them. Has anyone ever gone 6 months and followed through on their New Year's? That's never happened.
No,
in the
usually
history of
they
the world.
Go about 2 weeks. You
or
know,
like
you make the
24
resolution.
Hours they go. Yeah.
You write
I've
them
gone
out.
6 months. This is historic. This is Guinness Book of World Record type stuff.
You write them out on December 30th, and then by January 6th, you're already, well, next year.
So
next year sounds good.
Right. So now I'm sort of in that in between mode. I'm not in rebuilding. I'm also not in championship mode. I'm like the Chicago Bulls right now. I don't know what to do. Do I just give up on it, or do I continue to strive?
No, I would keep going.
You would keep going.
Well, the thing is, because people, and I've seen people come up to you and say, wow, like you're looking good. Like, that has to feel good.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, the acknowledgement.
You say that to me all the time, and you like touch my arm. I'm like, Sam, back off.
At the Walk of Fame, like Kathy and Judy were even going in for a squeeze. And, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, wow. Like, but that's good. That's good. Now, you know, you had the salad and the banana and the walnuts.
Yeah.
And that's a grade A fat cutting thing. I mean, you're in it.
Yeah, and then you brought all the sugar out.
Yeah.
I just consumed probably like 1,000 grams of sugar.
And the hoagie.
All those gummy worms. But you got a good hoagie. Deal on that. Wasn't it like 2 for $3 or something
yeah.
like that? That's a great deal. Yeah, your hoagie. So I just wanted to get everybody's thoughts on my salad intake. And Sam thinks it's too much. Susan's cool. She's backing me.
I think she backed me.
I'm backing both of you, but I have a question.
Yeah.
Where do you sit on Chipotle?
Well, see, I wouldn't call that fast food. But I'm also not a huge Chipotle guy, so it doesn't really bother me. Like,
okay.
I'm probably going to stay away from it anyways. I'll tell you, I miss Taco Bell, and I miss McDonald's breakfast. That's what I really miss. I'd kill a man for a 5-layer burrito right now from Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. I feel
that. Cheese or Gordita Crunch. Or McDonald's breakfast. I mean, that's some of the best breakfast you can get. 847 chiming in. If they don't bring a check to your table, it's fast food. I don't know about that. 630 says 7-Eleven is indeed fast food. No argument. That's my loophole, 630. Don't take it from me. I've stepped away from McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, White Castle. Just give me 7-Eleven. Give me 7-Eleven.
I can't believe you're admitting to eating 7-Eleven taquitos and pizza.
Okay, you just ate 2 bags of gummy worms and a giant hoagie from Walgreens.
Yeah, but I know
was
what
like
it is.
90% bread and like 3 slices of salami on that, and they call it an Italian deli sandwich.
But I don't lie to myself about it.
I'm not lying to myself about anything. I'm just saying it's my own little loophole that I created, and it's keep 7-Eleven is keeping me away from going back to the fast food world because it's just a little bit.
So 7-Eleven is your nicotine gum.
Right, exactly.
Or your patch.
You know, like in Switzerland for heroin addicts, they give them little tiny doses of it to wean them off of it? That's
a great idea.
That's me. 7-Eleven. I need just a little bit.
7-Eleven.
One of these days I'm going to break and I'm going to go to Taco Bell and get like 3 burritos, a cheese Gordita Crunch. 7-Eleven keeps me nice and even. I go get a couple steak and cheese taquitos.
Pretty soon you're going to be eating at Walmart. You're going to be eating at the dry cleaners. You're going to be... eating those little, you put the quarter in and you get, sometimes you get candy, sometimes you get a ring.
I'd be going to town on that. I just can't stay away.
I'm fine with it. But thank you to 7-Eleven. They've come through for me and keeping me away from the rest of the fast food. So I didn't know if I wanted to open up this this whole argument again, Sam, because last time it lasted about 4 hours on what is and isn't fast food. But a majority of people are calling 7-Eleven fast food. I don't know. It's my own loophole, Sam. I'm sticking with it.
Cubs losing 9-4. They're about to go down 2-1 in the series to the lowly Marlins. This is potentially loss number 5 in 6 games. Slump? Question mark? They'll panic? Question mark? Oh, they'll be fine. I think the injury's finally starting to catch up to them. Rizzo just came back today. Montero came back, hit a home run. Still no Dexter Fowler. We'll see. But the June swoon, as it's been chronicled, you have a month, 2 month stretch, rather, where you go April and May and you just dominate. You're due for a little bit of regression, but the Cubs still well on pace for over 100 wins. Did you see the Giants record?
Giants have the best record in baseball.
No, they're
or is they tied with the Cubs.
I think
right
they're
now?
2 games behind the Cubs, but they're 30-9.
We're cruising.
In their last 39 games.
Meanwhile, the White Sox hit a team record 7 home runs today, and they lost 10-8 to the Blue Jays. Brett Laurie had 2 home runs, 1 out of the park. His next at-bat was an inside-the-park homer. That's the first time a White Sox player's done that since 1974. Ron Santo did it as a White Sox.
And he was 34 years old. Inside the park for Ron Santo at 34. He only played 1 year with the Sox.
Toronto got 2 runs in the top of the ninth to make it 10-7. If they would have held them to no runs, they would have sent it to extras. The Sox scored a run in the final 4 frames, but still couldn't pull it off, losing 10-8 to the Blue Jays. This White Sox team is probably the most unpredictable Sox team I can remember. Like, who? They get swept by Cleveland, and then they go to Boston against one of the best teams in baseball, at least in the American League, at Fenway Park, and they nearly sweep them in 4-game series.
It's inexplainable.
I don't get it. First of all, they started the season off, 23-10. They're in first place. Nobody expected that. And then everyone sort of expected kind of a correction, right? They're going to kind of come down to earth. But I don't think anybody expected a nosedive, a complete nosedive, awful, atrocious play from the White Sox for the next couple months.
I still can't believe they got out of that bases loaded jam in Boston. Bases loaded, nobody out, and they bring in Zach Duke, and he somehow gets out of it.
More like El Duke. Get it? You get it?
El Duque did that in 2005.
Did you like my joke?
I did.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Well, more coming up on the White Sox and the Cubs. If you want to talk some Bulls or Blackhawks or anything, feel free to chime in. 312-981-7200. And I knew this would spark something. People are already chiming in about what is and isn't fast food. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is 720 WGN, The Beat.
/5:53 on the Beat, 720 WGN. We'll talk to Kevin Anderson from CSN Chicago about 12 minutes from now. Kevin is all up on the Bulls' salary cap issues and locked in on what they're going to do, not only this offseason, but next offseason. A lot of money off the books, but the free agent list is one that a lot of people are salivating over in Chicago. Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, Steph Curry, probably getting none of those. Settle for Andrew Bogut, maybe. He'll end up getting Carlos Boozer 2.0.
You think it's valid that major free agents don't want to come to Chicago?
Biggest free agent I think I've ever seen them sign was Ben Wallace.
Yeah, and that was not even an exciting signing at the time. They needed so much offense for that team, and they signed a defensive guy who couldn't score a bucket.
Yeah, that was 2007, but maybe 2006.
Yeah, I think six, or maybe 2005.
Well, they waived the headband rule, too. They used to have a rule where no bull could wear a headband. And then
he
was
notorious for his bicep bands, his forearm. He had more sweatbands on his body than anybody in the history of the league.
That reminds me. I'm glad you got onto that because I have noticed this trend in high school baseball and college baseball and even some minor league players. What's with all the gear?
I like it.
No. Quit being a hardo with your elbow pad and your wristbands and your batting gloves on the bat and then the extra pair of batting gloves in your back pocket. And then you got a knee pad and a shin pad on and you got eye black and sunglasses. You look like a dip.
You know who's a gear geek, whatever you want to call him, Brett Laurie? That dude's got everything. He's got a mouth guard in. He's got the glasses, got the elbow pad. He's got the eye black. I like it.
It was like in basketball when Allen Iverson had elbow tendonitis and he had that.
Yeah, and kids would wear it. They're like 10 years old. Dad, give me the elbow sleeve that Allen Iverson wears. What's it for? Tendonitis in your elbow?
It
You're 10
cool,
years old,
Dad.
Man.
Come on, Dad. It looks cool.
You're 10 years old, son. I don't think you have tendonitis in your elbow.
You look like a moron. And then some players were wearing them on both elbows. And then you had some players wearing like
the McDavid jumper knee things. It's like, dude, your knees are fine. You're 12 years old. You've been playing basketball for
well,
3 years.
Like the long underwear that go under the shorts, and then you've got you know the headband with the goggles, and then
the goggles were cool though because Horace made them cool.
Yeah, Horace Grant's nephew.
Jerry
and Grant, now a member of the Chicago Bulls. I love how they just kind of skip over his real father, Harvey. It's not Harvey's kid. Harvey played in the NBA for the Blazers and the Bullets.
He was no Horace, though.
But it's never Harvey's son, Jerry, and it's
Horace's
nephew.
Well, I'm going to refer to Jaren Grant from now on as Harvey Grant's kid, Harvey's son.
I couldn't believe that in the NBA draft. How about this? So the 30 picks, I think 15 of the first 30 were all from overseas.
Well, and speaking of drafts, the NHL draft, 12 picks in the first round were all American players. You know, that was the most ever.
I feel like that's backwards. That's flipped. It should be the other way
around.
That's
what I'm saying. An interesting point. Yeah, that many foreign players are getting drafted in the NBA, and that many American. I mean, the top pick in the draft was an Arizona-bred kid.
Austin Matthews.
He lives in the desert. He's a number one pick in the NHL draft.
The Detroit Red Wings going after Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, Stamkos talks heating up.
Interesting.
Is that it? They
dumped off Pavel Datsyuk's contract. So now the only problem is I still miss those Red Wings and Blackhawks games.
Oh, I know, me too.
I mean, only have them.
And the Joe is, this is their finale, right?
Are they
Joe?
They're knocking it down or is it going to stay as a landmark?
I don't know if they're going to knock it down, but they're built. That new stadium will be ready in two seasons.
Little Caesars Dome?
Is that what it's called?
Probably. That's where Little Caesars stems out of.
Yeah, but the Hawks play them in, I want to say, February and then March, a month later.
I missed the four games in the regular season.
Those
and then,
were the
odds were good, you'd probably run into them in the playoffs. But because they've been relocated into the East.
Well, the first Stanley Cup in 2010, they got past Detroit in the playoffs, correct?
No, it was Nashville, then Vancouver. Then, I believe, who did they beat in the conference? San Jose. And then they beat the Philadelphia Flyers.
I'm Googling it. I don't trust you.
Yeah, it's Nashville. That was Marian Hossa came out of the penalty box.
Oh, that was awesome.
Beat Pekka-Rinne.
Right. Yeah.
And then they dispatched the Canucks. Patrick Kane's hat trick in game 6. And then they swept the Sharks 4-0. Bufflin had a hat trick, I think, in game 3.
All right. I believe you.
You confirm?
Yeah, I didn't feel like Googling it anymore, so I just trust you now.
We'll talk a little bit more Bulls, and then we'll get back into that best part about soccer at 6:30. If you missed any of these goal calls, you might want to tune back in around 6:35. They bring the heat, and one of them may have blown a kidney during one of the goal calls, so we'll bring that back. Kevin Anderson from CSN Chicago after the news, 720 WGN.
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Thank you, David Jennings. 6:07 in Chicago. One more hour left to go on beat. 720 WGN, Kevin Powell and Sam Panionovic. And DJ, you brought this to my attention. This from the Tribune about an hour ago before we get to Kevin Anderson. A Mantino man ordered to stay away from U.S. Cellular Field after he was charged with running onto the field on Friday.
What was this Sox fan thinking? Running onto the field. What was he doing there? He really didn't belong. That silly little monkey. What was he doing out on the field at the Cell? All right, who am I doing?
I have no idea.
Howard Cosell?
Bingo.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know. He probably just wanted to check out USA
I mean,
He ran
you're
on the field.
You're
in
not
the
a player.
Fourth. He was tackled by security.
Yep.
Yeah, just stay off the field.
Seriously. I love how they tell him you are not to return to Sox Park. You understand? Question mark.
And that, and you the story also reads there were hushed snickers heard in Cook County Central Bond Court as prosecutors detailed the felony trespassing charges against the gentleman in question.
They have no way to keep him out of that park.
Yeah, I don't know what they're
going
to do.
And if I'm him, I'm going back the next. I'm going tomorrow. See,
I mean, it's probably too much to hope that they have facial recognition software running on cameras outside the stadium. Although that will probably raise privacy rights issues with for someone, I'm sure.
Not that that's ever been a problem before, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's amazing what sometimes the TV cameras catch in the stands at night games.
Certainly is. So good luck to Brian Burmeister getting back into U.S. Cellular Field. Banned for life, apparently. So they have his picture on the wall. As we shift gears and talk some Bulls here for the final time today, we bring in Kevin Anderson, Bulls contributor for CSN Chicago, csnchicago.com. K.A., I'm trying to make something out of nothing here with this Bulls mess. They're not rebuilding, they're retooling, yet they've fired one of the best coaches in the league. They've traded away their hometown hero, and now they're dangling Jimmy Butler for 50 cents on the dollar. I don't know what to think. Maybe you can clear this up.
Well, it's been a rough couple of years for the Bulls, certainly. By the way, just want to let you know I'm not at the Shedd Aquarium with Greenberg. So it's like, you don't have to worry
he
about
was taking a dip in Lake Michigan or something. I don't know what's going on with his phone.
Well,
in terms of Thibodeau, certainly that goes back a year. And, you know, Fred Hoiberg is this Bulls head coach, and that's the guy we're going to have for at least the foreseeable future. But, you know, in terms of the Butler thing, I actually believe Gar Forman when he said that they did not have any substantial discussions, certainly with Minnesota, on draft night for Jimmy. I think a lot of that was coming out of Minnesota's camp, and it would not surprise me if Thibodeau kind of leaked that to some of the national guys just to get the Bulls involved and possibly make the Bulls front office look bad. I don't think they had any substantial discussions for Jimmy at all, and certainly not for the rumor that it was going to be Zach LaVine and the number 5 pick for Jimmy. I mean, that's a horrendous trade for the Bulls, and I don't think there's any chance in hell they would have made that deal.
You think they should trade Jimmy Butler if the right deal presents itself?
It would have had to be a you know, golden parachute type great deal to trade Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy is a top 15 player in the league. I mean, he's not a guy, he's not a role player, he's a two-time All-Star who is one of the best two-way players in the league. He's at shooting guard, he's a top 3 player at that position in the league. So, no, I mean, yeah, if they would have had a great offer, let's say the Celtics would have approached them and said, you know what, we're going to give you the number 3 pick, we're going to give you Jay Crowder, and we would have given you next year's Nets pick, which they also have, their first-round pick. I have to think about that offer really, really long. I don't think that was ever an offer on the table, though. Unless it's an overwhelmingly good offer, I think you go with Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy is a 1A to a potential great team. You got to go with Jimmy. I think a lot of people kind of soured on him a little bit. The Hollywood act, is kind of worn thin. There's certainly the locker room issues over the past 6 months. But Jimmy is an all-star. He's a fantastic player. He's a superstar. You don't trade a superstar for 50 cents on the dollar unless there's a major, major reason to do so, like maybe the Kings are going to do with DeMarcus Cousins.
It's interesting that you brought up Tom Thibodeau possibly throwing gas onto the flame, because I thought, if you're the Bulls brass, if you don't get Andrew Wiggins for Jimmy Butler, it's over. You got to get something of value back. I mean, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine for Jimmy Butler, that makes no – people get fired for things that are stupider than that. I mean, it made no sense. That being said, though, Tom Thibodeau has been a person that has leaked things before. He'll probably leak things again. And if he gets a different chance – to kind of throw another jab or two at John Paxson and Gar Forman, that makes sense there, Kevin. You might be onto something.
Yeah, and here's a kind of indication that probably was the case. If you're on NBA Twitter on Thursday night, a lot of the national guys had the draft picks 10 minutes ahead of time, 2 picks ahead of time. You know, on TV, they'd be making a 3rd pick, but they could tell you who was coming up at 5, who was coming up at 7. But for the Bulls, no one knew. It was not on Twitter. It was not anywhere until the Bulls actually, until the commissioner announced who the Bulls were picking at 14, did you know who the Bulls were picking. that leads me to believe no one in the Bulls camp, they're very notoriously tight-lipped anyway, that nobody in the Bulls camp was leaking anything out, and all was all coming out of Minnesota and Boston. If let's look at it from the Boston perspective. You know, they don't have an axe to grind, but certainly they were trying to drum up interest in trading. They didn't want that number three pick. They were trying to get the Sixers and Bulls to outbid each other and say, you know what, we need to make this deal because Philadelphia is going hard for it, or from the Sixers' point of view, that Chicago's going hard for it. Well, if you kind of leak out there that, oh, by the way, the Bulls have strong interest in the third pick, that may make the Sixers go, oh, let's go hard at that pick. So it benefits Boston to have that information out there. It benefits Minnesota to have that out there. And you're right, in terms of Wiggins, if it would have been Wiggins at number five, which certainly would have been Chris Dunn available there, and that's who they would have taken for Jimmy, I think a lot about that deal. I mean, that would have been a deal that they would have been hard to turn down. I don't know necessarily they would have done it, but Wiggins absolutely would have been in the deal. But they were never trading Wiggins in the first place. He was never in the discussions. Cat and Wiggins were not on the table. There was no way that Thibodeau was trading either of those guys. He certainly wanted Jimmy, but he wasn't trading Wiggins or Cat to do it.
Well, Kevin, there's a lot to break down with this current Bulls situation. Sam and I have tried to make sense of some of it today. So we've been looking back on the Derrick Rose, the rise and fall of Derrick Rose in this town. I mean, before that ACL injury and before there was, you know, the fans started to kind of turn on him when he didn't come back to play after doctors had cleared him. Is there a moment in Derrick's career here in Chicago that you can look back on and say, you know what, that was the moment, that was the singular event that Bulls Nation, the fan base, sort of turned on Rose because he was beloved here, and now I think everyone's just relieved he's out of town.
Yeah, there are two moments, and it's not to do with his play on the court. I can't see any reasonable fan blaming Derrick for either knee injury, you know, whether it's that Sixers playoff game or the game in Portland with the meniscus. You can't blame a guy for injuries. But there were two particular instances in which he probably spoke poorly that I think got a lot of fans upset. The first time was when he was asked about coming back and playing, and he said something in effect of that he's got meetings that he's got to be healthy for after his career. He's got to think about his post-career days. And I get where he was coming from with that point, but that at that moment, a lot of fans took it the wrong way, and that was, I think, the beginning of the point of souring on him. And then last year at Media Day, we're kind of unprovoked, he was said, you know, he's got his 2017 contract to think about. You know, we hadn't even started the 2015 season yet, and he was already out of nowhere, without even being asked a question, brought up the 2017 season. I know where he was going with that line of thinking, too, but both those specific instances, they really set fans back the wrong way. But at the same time, I still believe there are a lot of Chicago Bulls fans who still love Derrick and wish him a tremendous amount of success in New York. I don't think they really blame him for everything and how it went down. And, you know, the deal was something that the Bulls were not going to re-sign Derrick when he's a free agent next summer. I mean, that was not going to happen. Derrick needed a fresh start. It made sense from an organizational standpoint for the Bulls to get something for him now, because if you wait until the trade deadline, you're not going to get much in return. Even if Derrick's playing at a high level, let's say at the absolute max, he's playing, you know, 90% of the games, he's scoring 22, he's averaging 6 assists. At the very high level, you're still not going to get much for him in return for a 3-month rental.
And of course, there's a chance he's not even healthy. I mean, if he tweaks something again, then you get nothing. So
then, yes,
it makes a lot of sense there. Kevin Anderson, Bulls contributor, CSNChicago.com. Okay, they trade Derrick Rose. I assume Gar Forman has a plan scribbled on a napkin somewhere at the Advocate Center. Is Mike Conley a scenario that they pull the point guard out of Memphis and bring him back to the Midwest? What are you hearing as replacements for Rose? Because I'm not buying Jose Calderon. I'm sorry. He's not selling tickets.
No. And the unfortunate part is once you get past Mike Conley, the point guard market this summer is very, very thin. I think, sure, in a perfect world, I think they're going to approach Conley and his team about, you know, getting a meeting with him. I think the Bulls would love to have Conley here in Chicago. I don't think that's a realistic target, though. I'm not certain that Conley is going to say the Bulls are the right fit for him. I think he probably stays in Memphis. In terms of the Bulls and where they go from here, in terms of the point guard position specifically, I think they're really looking at going with Calderon. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. Calderon, Grant, Jaron Grant, who they got in that Rose deal, they're pretty high on. They're going to give him a good look. And I think you're probably going to see them go after a backup point guard, somebody like Brandon Jennings, to kind of run this team over the next, you know, 9 months for the next season. And then they'll get to next summer and kind of evaluate where they want to be. Gar Foreman told us on draft night, he sat down with Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, and Vincent Goodwill with us after he spoke to the media at the podium. And he said that they would go after, you know, they wouldn't go after a top-tier guy. And I think it's likely that they'll go after two players. They have about $24 to $25 million in cap space this summer to work with. I think instead of going for a max tier $22 million a year guy, I think they're going after two players, two not stars, but a starter and a bench guy to come after. I think, you know, that is probably the best way that the team is going to get back in terms of retooling, and those were Gar's words, in terms of retooling. I think that they're going to go after two players. Gar's exact words were, my guess would be, as opposed to one guy, will probably look to fill some holes and look for some guys that fit the plan moving forward. To me, that plan is to get two rotation guys here that fit in Fred's system and try and make it work over the next season, and then next summer with a much better free agent class, next summer with a much better draft class, reevaluate where they're at and go forward. Retool is probably the right, I mean, rebuild and retool is really, that's semantics in terms of you're talking about which, you know, what one word means. I don't think they're going to tank a la the Sam Hinkie Sixers plan and then try and get a top five pick, but it wouldn't surprise me if they get a couple injuries that they're back in the lottery next year.
So last thing, KA, before we let you go, who's on the program for the 2017-18 season? Who are the Bulls promoting? Who's on the marquee? Is Jimmy Butler still on it? And if he is, who's joining him?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's still on it. And you know what's interesting about Jimmy Butler? He's still got several years left on his contract. Come next summer, it's not like his value is going to go down. If they decide they don't want to go with Jimmy as their star, as their guy, they will get probably an even better deal for Jimmy at next year's draft than they did this year. And so that's why there is no pressure to trade Jimmy right now. There's absolutely no reason to if you're going to do it 50 cents on the dollar. You can still revisit that a year ago, you know, a year from now. It's not like Derek's situation, which Jimmy's got 1 year left on his deal, and you had, you know, you're going to see him walk. Jimmy is signed through 2019, and he's going to be great value with the cap. But to answer your question, guys, in terms of 2017, you know, there are some big-time free agents like Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry. Steph Curry's not going anywhere. You can take him off the table. But Westbrook's available, and I don't think Westbrook's going to stay in Oklahoma City. I think when it comes down to it, Russ is probably going to go out west, and I would not be surprised if he goes to the Lakers. But guys like Blake Griffin and up north, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a free agent. Chris Paul is going to be a free agent. Rudy Gobert is a free agent. Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry. I mean, these are some sizable names, some game-changing all-star type players that are going to be available in 2017.
Kevin Anderson, at CSN Kevin on Twitter. Bulls contributor to CSN Chicago, csnchicago.com. I know you're crunching the numbers in your sleep, Kev. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Kevin Anderson from CSN Chicago. Downtown Danny Long has added a bonus cut to the soccer goal calls that we're going to bring back at 6:35. If you missed them earlier in the show, by 4 o'clock, Kevin and I were teasing the best part about the soccer summer craze, and it's the crazy announcers that lose their gullet over a goal.
Just absolutely phenomenal. To catch you up on the world of sports, both teams in town lose today. The Cubs lose to the Marlins 9-6 down in Miami. The White Sox fall to the Blue Jays 10-8. Seven home runs ties a team record for the White Sox. They hit seven solo shots today. Get some men on base, White Sox, and you probably would have won that game.
That's 2003 White Sox.
Yeah.
That's Frank Thomas, Magaly Ordóñez, and Carlos Lee.
El Caballo.
They hit like 220 home runs. I think 219 of them were solo blasts.
Both teams in town lose. At least the White Sox are showing something here. I mean, there's no reason, as we talked about, for the Cubs to panic. Look, they're 9.5 games up on the Cardinals. They've they've dropped 6 of 10, including 4 of 5. No reason to worry, Cubs fans. You'll be just fine. You're still 23 games over 500. You own that plus 160 run differential.
And you shouldn't have been talking about winning the World Series so soon, maybe.
Who was doing that? The team?
Oh, plenty of people. Well, not the team, but plenty of other people were.
Carmen?
Well, I think there's definite reason to talk about it. They're the best team in baseball.
It's too early. Way too early. It's only June.
All right. David Jennings says, don't even think about the Cubs going to the World Series.
I didn't say that. I just said, let things go. When they get 70, 80 wins, okay. Now you got a good reason to talk about it. It's just too early.
It's early. I understand where you're coming from. But when you look at their roster, you look what they've done, you compare it to other teams, I don't think there's a question they're the best team in baseball. Right, David?
I wouldn't disagree with you. I just wouldn't say the words World Series this early.
That's the old Cubs world thinking. You can't speak about the Cubs in World Series. I think this team has a different vibe and a different.
It took Jason Hayward 2 minutes into his press conference to say World Series when they signed him.
If the players aren't worried about it, the fans shouldn't be worried about it.
And Joe Madden's going to always say this one day at a time. The most boring cliche ever.
But it is a wake-up call when you see you blink and all of a sudden the Giants have the same amount of wins as you. Giants are 48-27, Cubs 48-25, better win percentage. But it's not going to be easy. The Mets are right back in it, too. Nationals are slumping. They've lost 7 in a row. If the Mets win today, they're just 2 games back in the NL East, same team that knocked you out last year in the playoffs.
That's the guy you don't want to see in the playoffs. Madison Bumgarner against Hayward, against Rizzo. Against some of those lefty bats, that guy
would you rather face,
is a horse.
Would you, if you're the Cubs in the postseason, would you rather face the Nationals or the Mets?
I'd rather face Washington.
Same, completely, because the pitching staff in New York and Washington's offense has some bats. Daniel Murphy, Bryce Harper, obviously, but there's some holes in that lineup
and in the rotation too. You don't want those flame throwing right handers.
No, I think the Cubs would. The Mets are a much more terrifying matchup in the postseason, as the Cubs saw last season. When you've got to face all those pitchers, Syndergaard, Harvey, who's been, I don't know what's going on.
DeGrom.
Probably the best pitcher. Well, Syndergaard's having an unbelievable year.
Steven Matz, too, the lefty.
Steven Matz.
We've got
Bartolo Colon hitting dingers out of the park. Look out.
Hasta la vista, baby. Spanish radio call.
Love it.
His first home
run. Speaking of calls,
we're going to get to those after we check news. 720 WGN.
What are you looking for?
Got caught. My headphones got caught on the chair, and I almost flipped out of my chair.
It would have been awesome.
I was hoping something was going to happen to shake it up. 636, 720 WGN, The Beat. Kevin Pyle, Sam Panionovich, Amy Guth is up next. She will join the party probably about 655 or so for Crosstalk, and then she will take you the rest of the way. Let's get back to something that was
soccer
requested
calls.
That we bring back because some people caught the tail end, thought it was pretty funny. So Kevin and I were going through the pre-show meeting, I guess, and he had sent me this clip earlier in the week, and then I showed it to Dan, and Dan loved it. I loved it. Obviously, you loved it. This is the Iceland TV announcer calling a game-winning goal as time expired. It was Iceland against Austria. Best part about it is watching the people outside the studio that are looking in here.
Yeah, the nice people just shopping on Michigan Avenue, looking around, and then all of a sudden that comes on, and everyone just stares at our studio with this dirty look. It gives us this evil look.
That sounds like a horror movie. That's Freddy versus Jason. That's
I love it.
You know, that is a cow getting slaughtered. That's what that sounds like.
It's beautiful.
That's
poetry.
Incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, perfect. This is a 1-2 punch here. We'll start with the Pachuca goal from Univision.
Va el servicio, pelota por arriba, remate de cabeza, gol. Gol.
Still going. What was his name? Pachuca.
Getting the looks from people walking by.
We're doing this for our own self-serving humor here. This is not for you. This is for us. This is another goal. This is an Argentinian goal.
We only have 40 more cuts to go. Stand by.
This is
get comfortable.
Also Univision.
Capitán, el 10, que viene con el trazo. Ahí está dentro de la liga.
So he hits you with the double tap. He hits you with the goal.
No! I like it. His own little flair to it.
He went second, goal, goal, goal. And then the 12-second hold the O.
That's innovative goal broadcasting right there.
This guy from Caracol TV in Curaçao, he doesn't even mess around with any of the semantics. He just gets right into the call.
Favorite one.
26 seconds of holding goal.
That's an aggressive goal.
That is very hard to do. I actually tried that this morning. Yeah. I got to about 19 seconds.
Oh, did you do it on the air?
No, just in the closet.
You standing in front of your mirror practicing your broadcasting? All right, Sam.
With a stopwatch.
We're taking this next level goal.
Messi. We have two goals from Messi, arguably the best soccer player in the world. Or football player, if you're from that neck of the woods. This is the first Messi goal. This guy's jacked.
La de sí para Messi. Messi enganchó como le gusta. Él probó con zurda. ¡Gol! 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 ¡Gol!
That's pure passion right there.
That is somebody that loves his job.
You can hear him losing his voice throughout that call. Like before he started, it was nice and fresh and loud and broad. After it was squeaky and nasty and dry. That's passion right there. That's dedication to the goal chant.
We have a second Messi. Anytime Messi has the ball, you could see and hear the announcer just ramping up for the big moment. The best part is Beautiful. You have no idea what he's saying.
Oh, I have no idea, but you know somebody scored a goal.
I heard goal about 30 times there in, I think, 26 seconds, which is very impressive. But that's...
Can we get Iceland one more time? Is that possible?
We'll do Iceland at the back end. Let's finish with...
Well,
he's got the bonus one, too, that we don't even know about. Hopefully, it's been edited and it's radio-friendly. This is... English announcer Ray Hudson, who used to play in England, and now he's a commentator.
Like a Jedi Knight. No, better than that. A Templar Knight.
This is a flash of pure inspiration. And let me tip my hat to the genesis of this goal, Ibarra. Lionel only absolutely lights it up here. He lifts off it, flamethrowers it past. Poor Renny Vega. It's just as well Renny didn't get a hand to that.
Flamethrowers it.
That's a Jedi Knight.
No better than that.
A texter from the 312 said, the second Messi goal sounds like he's flapping his lips with his finger. I guess it did kind of sound like that. Yeah, that is a good one. Downtown Danny Long has a bonus cut that I haven't heard yet. Kevin hasn't heard it yet.
This is exciting.
Yeah, this is just to set it up a little bit, it's a Thierry Henry goal from Barcelona.
Navidad con Titi Henry. Henry para Messi. Messi, el pase para Henry es buenísimo. Henry, gol. Gol. Titi. Gol del Barcelona.
He sounds like a slot machine.
No, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like trying to start your car when it's cold out. Like, you know, play it one more time, Dan.
I hear like a car. Slot. He sounds like a slot machine.
Navidad con Titi Henry.
Ding, 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 ding,
oh,
ding,
yeah,
ding.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry para Messi. Messi, el pase para Henry es buenísimo. Henry. Gol. Titi. Gol.
Beautiful.
Oh, we could do this all day.
The 214 texted in. This is obviously a Rokan show with Andrew Vellantis listener. Kevin, if you keep drinking the muscle milk, you too can do that one day. Maybe someday.
Could you make it 20 seconds on a goal call?
Should I try?
Are we going to do that? You want to do that?
When we come back from the next side. By the way, 312 says the Pachuca goal must be able to breathe. Come on, Kevin. The Pachuca goal guy must be able to breathe through his nose while blowing out his mouth, kind of like Kenny G did for the world record for the longest note. Possible. Quite possible.
708 texting, the reason they scream goal and hold the scream is because they don't have train horns or fog horns or truck horns. If the Hawks didn't have the horns, Pat Foley would still do the same thing. I don't know, because they play Chelsea Dagger.
You know what?
Now it's like songs and...
I think you should try, because you're the play-by-play guy. You're the voice of the Flames.
You ready? Are we timing this?
No. We're going to do this. We're going to tease this here. We're going to radio tease this here. We're going to break. We're going to come back.
I can go 23 seconds. That's what I'm going to guess.
I have the official timer here. Let's take a break.
Let's play Iceland out one more time.
Play Iceland out, and Sam, you try to match that with some intensity and try to hit this note, Kenny G style, coming back after Team
Iceland.
But
first, the Iceland goal, the game winner against Austria. He gets excited before the ball even crosses midfield.
All right, I'm gonna bring us into this next segment here because Sammy's saving his breath. We've played for you multiple intense soccer goal cuts because the Euro Cup's going on, Copa America, so there's been no shortage of phenomenal goal calls. You've heard them before.
Dean calls it the Copacabana Cup.
Copacabana Cup.
Yeah.
That works. I like that, Dean. Sam has accepted the challenge to try to match the longest goal call we recorded from today, which was 26 seconds. Is that
26? Danny, I got to do 26 seconds?
Yeah, and you can't take a breath. If you pass out, that's fine. I'll finish the show alone.
Okay.
I'll grit it out. All right, so we'll see if Sam can match 26 seconds of a goal call.
Get some water.
Get some agua going. Maybe we should have got some tea for you or some honey. Sam's going to lose his voice. Fortunately, there's only 10 minutes left in the show, so if he does, it's, you know.
All right, I'm going to get into the
goal.
Are
we starting at the ramp up or at the actual where you call the goal and hold it?
From the G in goal.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and start it here at 0-0. Okay.
Dan, do you have the official clock?
I've got a timer back.
All right, here we go.
Okay, you got the official clock. I'll give you a 3-2-1. You ready?
Okay.
All right, 3-2-1, the ball's in the net. Go.
A la izquierda, a la derecha, donde está el baño. Sí, 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 gol!
What did he get?
Ten seconds.
Weak, man.
During a 3.5 hour show.
The voice of the Flames, I expected better.
Well, I got excited when I said, ¿Dónde está el baño?
I don't know what that means.
Where's the bathroom? I said, to the left, to the right, where's the bathroom? And then, see, the one guy, though, he kind of cheats because he goes, go, 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 go. And, it, you know,
and
oh,
one
God,
guy, one,
so
one,
tired.
One guy didn't even care either. He would stop and just keep going. He'd take a breath and go. He'd go, 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 go. I like that one.
Let me try one more time. I only had 10 seconds that time. Oh, that's awful. All right, one more time.
Yeah, that's weak. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, I just kicked the ball into the net. Go.
Go! Seconds was that?
That was four. That was 18.
I had a fan club outside for that one.
Dan, did you have 18?
I had 19.4 total, but you got to shave a little bit off that because you did take a breath at the end.
Yeah, you did some sort of goal thing. That was good, though.
I tried.
Damn, that was good, Sam.
That literally, I'm just going to go home now. You got this for the rest of
the
way?
That's fine. The voice of the Flames.
We should have done this. See, we should have done this at like 3:30.
Yeah, when you were fresh. Sam's been here since 6 in the morning.
I got on the air.
Wrapping up his 13-hour shift with goal calls. Probably not the best idea.
7:05 a.m. is when I first started. And now here I am at 6:52 after 12 hours of work.
Yeah, at 3 o'clock, maybe you wouldn't have agreed to it. I think now you're at the point where you're probably getting that loopy stage where you're tired. You're like, whatever. I'm tired. I'm done anyways. Let's do some goal calls.
But wait. I went from 10 seconds to 19 seconds. Yeah. So by mathematical probability.
All right, one more.
This is going to be 28 seconds.
Third time's a charm.
Oh, jeez. I might faint after this one.
Ready?
Yep.
All right, just kick the ball into the net.
I don't think I can do it. Go! I can't do it anymore.
It was a valiant effort.
That's done.
Sammy.
The bit's over. My insides are shaking right now.
Yeah, I was going to do it, but then I figured you should just do it. You're better at it than I am.
That seriously, I don't know. See, now the one guy that we didn't even cut this goal call, he was calling for Univision, and his goal call, first of all, he held goal for about 30 seconds, and then he started back timing and back describing the play. Mm-hmm. He went like 2 minutes long without taking a breath.
It's incredible. Guys are talented. Well done by you. A good effort. That puts a nice exclamation point on the show today, Sammy. Well done.